Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Oh, I'm sorry. Today is Wednesday, February 6th.
What happened?
I was thinking about something else. Today is Wednesday, February 6th.
Why do they spell Wednesday with a D?
I still can't get over that. I've been wondering that my entire life. But it finally came to a head. It's
too much to handle.
Funny.
Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Preston. President Trump delivered his second State of the Union speech on Tuesday, imploring lawmakers to break decades of political stalemate and heal old wounds just weeks after the longest government shutdown in history. We have a clip from last night.
Oh, here we go. I should probably be ready with that, too, shouldn't I?
You are.
Here we go.
Together, we can break decades of political stalemate. The decision is ours to make. We must choose between greatness or gridlock, results or resistance, vision or vengeance, incredible progress or pointless destruction. Tonight, I ask you to choose greatness.
Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting. I mean, both inside and out. You take a look at her, she's a slob.
He will not let that go. Yeah.
He will not let that go.
I thought the wall was his platform.
No.
Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting. I mean, both inside and out. You take a look at her.
Why did he invite her there?
Slob.
With House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Vice President Mike Pence seated behind him, President Trump spoke for nearly an hour and a half with frequent interruptions of applause from Republican members who broke into chants of USA at several points. The House chamber was marked by dozens of Democratic women wearing white, the color historically associated with the suffragette movement. Mr. Trump's speech was his first address to a joint session with one House controlled by Democrats. His remarks came as Congress works to craft a deal on border security to prevent another shutdown before a looming mid-month deadline. A patient is being treated for Ebola at the hospital of the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. Penn Medicine confirmed yesterday that a patient was tested for Ebola at the University City Hospital, but that the test results are not yet completed. Penn says preliminary testing indicated the patient had another condition as well. The statement issued by Penn's chief medical officer, Dr. P.J. Brennan, says the test was administered in an abundance of caution. At this time, we do not know yet if the patient had traveled to a location which has the disease or came into contact with someone who does. There is a current outbreak of Ebola in the African country of Congo. According to the CDC, the Ebola virus spreads to people through direct contact with bodily fluids of a person who is sick with or has died from the virus. This can occur when a person touches the infected body fluids or objects that are contaminated with them and gets the virus into their system through broken skin or mucous membranes in the eyes, nose, or mouth.
How long ago was it when we were going through all this Ebola stuff? Seems like about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I always forget because there's Ebola and then we had a swine flu.
Right.
And, you know, these things pop up and you try to, they keep an eye on it.
But they were dealing, I remember they were.
Ebola was the one that was really bad. I mean, it was killing tons of people.
And then there was a flu season, I remember, where they had to set up tents outside of the hospitals because of the overflow of patients. But that wasn't Ebola. But
Ebola is the scariest in a lot of respects because it can be the most transmitted. So it can be really, really easily transmitted. But there are so many different forms of Ebola that some of them are much more easily transmitted than others. But if you want to read a terrible and a scary book, it's called The Hot Zone.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And it talks about all the different types of Ebola. That book is probably 20 years old at this point. But it really goes into how horrific it can be.
Well, and that's why so many people were dying in Africa from it, because they were, you know, their living conditions are a bit different than ours in some of these villages that they live in. And they were just, I mean, you can touch something.
Transmitting it right and left, yeah.
And so people were dying. So people can also get the virus through sexual contact as well. Symptoms include fever, headache, joint and muscle aches, weakness, diarrhea, vomiting, stomach pain, lack of appetite, and abnormal bleeding. Symptoms may appear anywhere from 2 to 21 days after exposure, although they said 8 to 10 days is most common.
The symptoms are half the side effects on the medicines offered on the news channels to senior citizens.
Cheney University student dorms have been without hot water for several days. Students say it's been about 5 days since the dorm had hot water. They took their concerns to the university's president at the town hall meeting, which was yesterday. We're quickly trying to fix this, said Cheney University President Aaron Walton. The university blames the weather for the dorm's two water heaters going down and the sprinkler system malfunctioning in some faculty offices. Officials say that the new parts have been ordered.
You guys ever been forced to take a shower when the heater isn't working?
Oh, yes.
It's
awful.
Sucks. Well, when you Preston wake up, because of the time we wake up, and you don't know the heater isn't working, and you hop in the shower.
I one time went to, took a trip to Colorado, a skiing trip with a bunch of friends. We all stayed in the same condo, and the water heater didn't work very well. I mean, you got 2 minutes of hot water, and that was it. So whoever got up first was the lucky person.
You got the lucky.
That's it. It was gone after that. I mean, dude, it was winter, Colorado, cold.
Yeah.
It was brutal. We stunk because nobody wanted to take a freaking shower.
Now, I don't know if this was the hot water heater we had or if it was just my dad, but we had a switch on our hot water heater, and it would be turned off if people weren't showering.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's
so, again, like, if you were to wake up in the morning and not remember to turn that switch on, you'd go to get in your shower, and it would be freezing cold.
You would have to turn it on well in advance of your shower.
That was the thing. And then, so if you were going to work, you didn't have time to wait for half an hour for it to warm up.
Yeah. I'm thinking about going tankless hot water heater. You guys ever hear of those?
Yeah, I think those are awesome.
Yeah, you can have people showering all day, every day, and you won't run out of hot water.
It heats the pipes throughout the house, so you don't run out of hot water, basically.
So what's the mechanism that does that? Do you have any idea?
It's behind the walls. It's like something that will
is
heat.
It like gnomes?
I think it is.
I think it might be gnomes.
The gnomes are blowtorches?
Yeah, no. And they just crawl through the walls.
What's heating
the
pipes?
So you know how, like, you have that, it's that huge, and you can have gallons and gallons of it. It's just a tiny little box. I don't know the magic behind it, but
so somebody explained it to me as that your pipes are being heated behind the wall, so you have to have it done. Like the person that I know got it done when he was building a new house.
All right, yeah. So this device we see here is for $181.
That's just a device, and then you got to pay for somebody to install it. Now, uninstall the other one, install this one. So it's going to run you a few hundred bucks to do it, and if you're going to do it, you want to do it right.
I'm intrigued. I mean, now we have great hot water in our house, but I'm intrigued on how a device like this could, if you want it, would that deliver you a hot shower?
Yeah, it will. And you know where I hear this is the most beneficial is like down the shore, right? So you come off the beach, you and the whole family.
There's 900 kids trying to shower.
And you've got like four people, five, you know, depending on how many showers you have. You got an outside shower running, blah, blah, blah. And you can, all these people can shower all at once and not run out of hot water.
I've never heard of anything like this, but it's if it is what you say it is, that's pretty amazing.
I've got some calls coming in. I'll take them in just a moment.
Okay, and Casey, in this description, it says hot water heater, not just water heater. Remember we had that debate a few months ago?
Here we go.
The water's already hot. Why are you going to eat it?
Why do they call it a driveway?
Yeah. I'm Dave. There's a lot of people calling in. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning, Preston.
Hey.
It's basically a reverse radiator. It's not heating the pipes in the wall, as Kathy.
No, it's not.
No. It's an on-demand system. You turn on your faucet or your shower, and you're calling for hot water by turning on the hot side, and it draws the cold water through a reverse radiator. A very, very hot coil in there immediately heats that water. The other advantage to the tankless is that you're not heating water that you're not using. So you want it, it comes on.
All right, so a quick question. So it's going through this radiator, and Casey's, how hot is that radiator to heat water up to like a hot shower for a family of seven, say?
Well, I mean, if seven people were showering in the same shower, they'd be fine.
Yeah.
But if seven people were getting showers consecutively, it doesn't matter. The water is going to be heated to whatever the preset temperature is.
Wow.
Your tanked water heater heats water typically in a domestic setting to 120 degrees, although you're not showering at 120 because you're metering it back.
Right.
The same thing goes. So it's going to heat it up to, say, 120 degrees, and then you're going to meter it back by just adjusting your faucet.
Right.
There's no new faucets. There's no new pipes. It's just a new water heater.
Is this supposed to be more efficient?
it is efficient in the fact that you're not reheating 50 gallons of water constantly to maintain that 120 degrees in the tank.
I didn't know anything like this existed.
That's so where do the coils go?
They're in the tankless unit. The one that Steve saw for $181, that's fine for doing like one sink or, you know, one specific device.
Yeah.
I had one hooked up that just did a shower one time, and it was about the size of a phone book.
Oh,
but the one that's going to do your whole house is about 10 times that amount, around $1,800 for the unit. And it's about the size of a, I don't know, like maybe a
battleship.
But wait a minute. So, hang on. I'm a little confused. Does the unit go, you know, in a central location where your old water heater went?
So
it doesn't go near each device, near each
spigot.
You carry it around.
if you wanted to have something like that, you could.
Yeah.
I got an apartment that we installed two different ones in. I don't know why, but it'll go right on the wall where your old water heater was.
Huh.
Interesting.
And it can be,
gas-fired
or electric.
Hey, Dave, somebody texted in that it's somewhat like a Keurig water heater. Is that at all accurate? Like that it's just a giant version?
You lift
version?
The roof of your house.
Well, no, I mean, like,
put it in.
That idea, I guess, is the concept.
Yeah, I love showering in hot coffee.
Right.
But a Keurig is on all the time. If you leave it on, it's
right.
The water's hot and ready to go immediately, and so it's got to be heating up the water.
Right. I think
it's pulling
the water off that water reservoir, though, Nick, and does pump it through a heating device.
Yeah.
All right, that's what heats it up.
So, Dave, I'm going to ask you. You're coming off the beach, right? And you got three people showering. You got two showers in the house and one in the outside shower, and all three showers going at once, and you're going to have like nine people shower in a row. How does this thing work out for you?
That's where you say, okay, Mr. Plumber, I need to be able to do this, and I need one that has that kind of capacity. So you buy it sized based on the BTU requirements to heat that volume of water that you're going to be using. When I had an apartment for a little while in Darlington, South Carolina, that I built, and I used this little one that was the size of a phone book, as I said, and this thing ran constantly. We could shower after shower after shower, but it was only one shower.
Okay.
So, you know, if you want one for the whole house, it's obviously going to be larger than that little one.
No, makes sense. Yeah. No, that's wild.
You just get it sized appropriately, Casey.
And Dave, why is there a D in the word Wednesday?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that it's because they constantly have to do things to confuse and...
Thank you.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Dave, I like it.
This guy knows everything.
You ask him a question, he gives you an answer.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave.
All right, Dave. We appreciate all the info, bud. All right?
Guys, love you.
Hey,
love you too.
And by the way, Dave, he doesn't have to answer this. I think behalf of everybody, I apologize for saying hot water heater, but let it go, okay? Sometimes people say...
Nobody said anything. You did.
No, the text messages come across and all that. But, you know, sometimes people say irregardless. Some people say literally when it's not literally.
Doesn't matter.
Some people say it does not matter. If you understand what I'm talking about, just let it go.
Yeah, it's okay. Hot water heater's okay.
Hot water
heater.
It doesn't matter.
Interesting. Well,
yeah.
I just bought a brand new hot water heater earlier last year, so I'm not going to be getting on this anytime soon. But you guys tell me how it goes.
Yeah, Case, the people that I know that have it said they love it. And
Yeah, okay.
There's a number of people in the house showering. They never run out of hot water.
All right.
Very good.
All right, then.
Okay, so back to Cheney University.
Oh, yeah.
The students received a series. Yes, they received
it all off.
A series of emails claiming service would soon be restored, but as of yesterday, they were still without water. Meanwhile, accommodations were made for students to be shuttled to other facilities around campus, but some say that those facilities were outdated and falling apart. Cheney University is the nation's oldest historically black college. It has been plagued with problems, including being cash strapped, low enrollment, and at one point danger of losing its accreditation. Students say they hope to meet with the administration again today to address the ongoing issue. Okay, let's do sports this morning.
Sex or
young. What is that?
The Sixers lost at home to the Toronto Raptors last night, 119-107. Kyle Lowry, a Philadelphia native and former Villanova star, had 17 points in the first half and finished with 20, and Kawhi Leonard finished with 24 points. The Sixers are off until Friday when they'll host the Denver Nuggets. After the game, the LA Clippers and Sixers agreed to a deal that brings forward Tobias Harris to Philadelphia as part of their efforts to pursue the Eastern Conference title. The Sixers paid a steep future price for Harris, including rookie guard Landry Shamet and 2020 protected first-round pick and an unprotected 2021 first-round pick. The Sixers also sent forwards Wilson Chandler and Mike Muscala and a 2021 and 2023 second-round picks to the Clippers in the trade. Harris is having the best NBA season, averaging 20.7 points on 49% shooting from the field and 42% from the three-point line. The Flyers are off until tomorrow night when they'll host the LA Kings. In a span of their last 18 games, the Flyers have managed to lose 8 straight and then win 8 straight. Since January 10th, they've passed 12 teams in the NHL standings and are now only 7 points back of the Eastern Conference's second wild card spot. And the 14th-ranked Villanova Wildcats will host Creighton tonight in a Big East matchup at the Pavilion. The Wildcats have won 10 straight games to improve to 18-4 overall and 9-0 in the conference. Tip-off on the main line is set for 8 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. So as it turns out, Wednesday actually has Germanic linguistic roots.
Okay. Oh,
thank you.
It is derived from the old English, English word Wodnisdag.
Wodnisdag is here, everyone.
Which honors the Germanic god Woden.
Woden.
Woden. I guess Woden. Yeah, yeah. That's how you'd say it.
That's how
you
say it.
So, Wodensdag.
By the way, did you get the haircut?
I did get
it. You look like that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I went a little shorter than I probably should have, but
I take it a little nice.
Thank you.
You
thank
me Woden.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Welcome to Wednesday, and we do have some things going on. Fox, good day. We always do a stop on Wednesday morning with those guys, so we will do that. We usually have a secret text word. Do we have
that? Oh, we
that?
Do. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
Is it ready to go?
It is running? Ready to go.
All right. Well, while you're getting that ready, I'll mention a couple other things. This should be interesting. So UFC Fight Night is not until March 30th at the Wells Fargo Center. We have in the studio this morning two guys that are going to be fighting at that event. Two competitors.
These are the guys who are going to be squaring off, sitting side by side here in the studio.
It should be.
Never had that. Yeah.
No. So you have Justin Gaethje and Edson Barboza, and they will both be here. I don't know much about these guys. I just know when you fight at the UFC level, you're elite, and it should be pretty interesting to talk to these guys.
You're exactly right, Preston. And I did doing some research on this Barboza. He has what they say are some of the most spectacular knockouts ever. Ooh. In UFC history.
Fantastic.
That's sort of his thing. He's like Muay Thai?
Muay Thai, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
That's expertise.
All right, we'll get those fellas in here, talk to them. We're also going to be chatting with Dane Cook this morning.
Yeah.
We haven't talked to Dane in quite some time. He'll be returning with the stand-up tour at the Met on Saturday, March 30th. It's called Tell It Like It Is. That's his tour, so we'll talk to him.
He'll always have a very special place in our hearts because he was here for a drunk day one time.
Yeah,
and he was really good.
It was great. We have the secret text word, a pair of tickets to the That's Amore Valentine's Day at event at Adventure Aquarium.
Ah.
That's Amore, as in an eel.
Amore eel.
Yeah. Behind the scenes, look at the Ocean Realm dinner, dessert, and two complimentary adult beverages. I've done events like that. It is so much fun.
They do a great job.
At the aquarium. So text the word secret to 39333. We'll see if you win later on. Let's go ahead and take a break now. Come back in a moment. And the Entertainment Report, along with Stupid Questions, coming up next. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day spa package from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day.
Steven Singer is re-releasing exclusive 24-karat gold dip rose colors just for you. If you missed out on a color, here's your chance to add it to her collection. Check out all the available colors at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I'm going to do a stupid question. We're going to give away 4-pack of tickets for the 21st Philadelphia Tattoo Arts Convention, which is coming up February 15th through the 17th. It's a tough question. Sometimes I like to ask questions that are gimmies. Other ones I throw you for a loop. This is from our buddy Craig, who got me some questions for Black History Month.
Yes.
Now, this one's a bit of a stretch, but let's see if somebody can get this right. From the movie Caddyshack.
Yes.
In the country club, Rodney Dangerfield throws money at the band and yells, "Hey, Ringo, play something hot." What song does the band play? Wow. I'll give you a hint.
Oh, yeah.
It's an African-American-based band, and that's all I'm going to say. 215-263-WMMR.
Hence the tie-in to Black History Month.
Exactly. Right. And let's see if you know the answer. Steven, they're one of our favorite bands, by the way.
Oh, all right. All right.
215-263-WMMR. What song does the band play at the country club when Rodney throws the money and says, play something hot? All right. I'm going to go through some birthdays while we're trying to get that answer, that difficult answer. It is February 6th, and it's Axl Rose's birthday. W. Axl Rose, technically, is what his name is, and his real name is William Bailey,
oh, that's right,
or Bill Bailey.
Well, yeah, I can see why he changed it.
And so he goes with that. And Axl is 57 years old.
There was a picture of him with Mickey Rourke. It made a sort of a meme, and I think they said they look like, and it was very accurate in the description, two old lesbians.
Yeah, you're right.
It really was as unflattering a picture as I've ever seen.
Yep, absolutely. He's one of a kind for sure. Axl Rose is celebrating his 57th birthday.
There
today.
It is. Some of the screens, Preston.
Oh.
He was a guy who was involved with supermodel Stephanie Seymour for years.
Right.
You remember?
She was in the November Rain
That's
video.
That's right, yeah.
And she was.
And now he looks like her.
She was next to Chrissy Brinkley. She was
She
was definitely my obsession. Tom Brokaw has birthday
too. I just got in a whole bunch of trouble saying stuff.
Yeah, he did.
I'm in the bad boy room.
Really?
It was controversial, but everything's controversial these days.
It's true.
And I prefer not to go into it. Pay attention to Liam Neeson. Look over there.
Something else will pop up.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw that moment, that interview, and Tom has aged quite a bit.
There's a bit of waver in his voice. Did you notice that?
And there's kind of, and listen, it happens as you get older. That's all there is to it. But his mouth is a little even looser. Even though he talks like
that. He has his hair.
But you're right. He's he's still a solid journalist, but yes, he's aging. He's 79 years old today, by the way.
I clearly remember his coverage of 9/11.
Yeah.
And I actually watched him the most. There was Peter Jennings on ABC.
That's kind of who I
right. Like so in, yeah. Between the both, and I don't know why it should matter. It should matter. I think I took more comfort watching Brokaw.
Do you know the interesting thing about 9/11 and Peter Jennings? It pretty much killed him.
It
because
did.
He had quit smoking
yes.
for a long time.
Yeah.
And when 9/11 happened, it pushed him and he started smoking again and he died from lung cancer.
And then they cut over to Brokaw. Yeah, I picked the wrong week. He gave up sniffing glue.
Happy birthday, Tom Brokaw, 79. Another older gentleman, Rip Torn. Is 88 years old today.
I love Rip Torn.
Wow, the Larry Sanders Show, Men in Black movies.
Beastmaster!
Beastmaster, you're right. He was the main cult guy in Beastmaster.
Dodgeball!
Yeah, Defending Your Life.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
He's 88 today. The great Rick Astley celebrates his birthday today. Yeah,
Rick, we have to have that?
We do. He just had a really great tweet over the weekend. He tweeted something like, hey, I just went to the dentist. Don't worry, guys. Everything's fine. I just wanted to hear. Oh,
that was Richard Marx.
That was Richard Marx. God
damn it.
My bad.
Damn it.
He's the American Rick Astley, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, you're right.
He's been saddled with that moniker.
But anyhow, what do you want to finish it?
He said, everything's fine. I just wanted to hear my song. And that's
all. You would hear it in a dentist's office?
It's actually good.
It's funny.
That might apply to Rick Astley.
You know, I like Rick Astley. He's 53 today.
Has he ever had another hit besides the Rick rolled one?
He had a second one.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
For the life of me, I can't remember it. Nick, you'd have to pull up his...
Well, you and I were both watching Graham Norton, right?
Yeah.
Preston in London, and Rick Astley was one of the guests, and he came out with, like, a big band, and it was... He can still belt it out, and he gets the Rick Astley joke, too.
He's embraced the Rick Rolled thing and has a lot of fun with it.
I'm looking at... I see the discography, but I don't see his singles and hits. But he had one more song, Steve, that I recall.
Together Forever?
Together Forever and Ever and Ever. Together Forever and Ever.
That's the one.
That's it. That's how we do it.
Never saddled with lyrics.
Kathy Najimy, the actress, comedian and actress.
Very talented.
Soap Dish, Sister Act 1 and 2, voice of Peggy Hill on King of the Hill. She's 62. I got to move along because we got a lot
Come
of
Come on.
Maria Shriver is 64 years old today.
Yes, I have something to tell you.
Ex-wife of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You know, a housekeeper.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a daddy.
Yes. And that's what that happened. Was it. Wow.
Yeah, that was weird. Forgot about that.
Mike Farrell, who played B.J. Honeycutt on MASH. Wow, he's 80 years old today.
Yowza.
Robert Townsend gave us Hollywood Shuffle and was in I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka. He is 62 today. Chris Humphreys, Steve. Haven't heard that name in a while.
Oh, my God.
Ex-husband of Kim Kardashian.
I wonder if he's happy he got out of that. My guess is yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's 34. You also have from Stranger Things, Charlie Heaton. He plays Jonathan, the older brother. It would be Winona Ryder's older son.
Yeah, so he's actually involved with the girl he's involved with in the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're an item. Oh. Yeah, I think she's adorable.
She is great.
Any relation to Patricia Heaton by any chance?
No.
No, I think he's British. Yeah,
yeah, he is.
Didn't he get busted at the airport with coke?
He did.
He's 25 years old today, and I saved the best for last. One of the most stunning women in Hollywood, Alice Eve.
Oh. Yeah.
Is 37 years old today. Yes. She's out of my league.
Yes, she is.
Phenomenal. She's all a brick, too.
She was just in that movie with Keanu Reeves, right? The Bombed?
Yes. And
I brought you back from the dead.
There's a great bikini scene in Star Trek Into Darkness, which they wholeheartedly admitted was frivolous all the way around.
Yeah.
She just goes, turn around. Yeah. I told you to turn around. She's standing there in her underwear.
Right.
It's wonderful. She's 37 today. All right. We'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question from Caddyshack at the Country Club. And Rodney Dangerfield throws money at the band and yells, hey, Ringo, play something hot. What song does the band play? And I will go to Ken, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Ken.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? Ken, what's the song?
Boogie Wonderland.
Yes, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Love that song. Love that band.
Absolutely correct. Hang on a second. Ken, we're going to get your information.
Man, such a good band.
They are a great band. And we are going to give you a 4-pack of tickets for the 21st Annual Philadelphia Tattoo Arts Convention. February 15th through the 17th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Get tattooed on site by 1,500 of the world's best tattoo artists. Tickets just $20. You can visit villainarts.com for information. Lead off with Empire star Jussie Smollett. He did not intentionally want to, want to report the alleged homophobic and racist attack he suffered last week in Chicago, according to an initial police incident report. It took a friend, actually, to convince him that it was necessary. Eyewitness News in Chicago obtained the report via a Freedom of Information Act request and shared it with several reporters. According to the Hollywood Reporter, the 60-year-old friend of Smollett said he did not want to report the offense, but believed that it would be in the best interest to do so. The report also states that police found him at his home with a stained shirt and a rope around his neck. The report states the attackers seem to have targeted the 36-year-old. They reportedly got his attention initially by yelling, Empire, F-word, N-word. He reportedly did not notice any distinguishing features and adds that one of the attackers was actually wearing a mask. The assailants reportedly hit him about the face with their hands, poured a chemical substance on him before putting a noose around his neck. The attack happened around 2 a.m. last Tuesday when he left a Subway restaurant. Police are reportedly reviewing hundreds of hours of surveillance footage, but they haven't found any video of the attack itself. So
they've asked to interview him again concerning the whole case because they're coming up short on everything.
Yeah. So they're continuing that investigation. Kylie Jenner and Kris Jenner showed off their incredible and starkly different pads for Architectural Digest's March Star Power issue. Unsurprisingly, considering their stages of life, the homes couldn't be more different. Now, Kylie, the 21-year-old beauty mogul, her home is all about the fairy tale.
It's about the fairy tale.
Take her custom closet featuring Hermes that range from... $10,000 to $200,000 a piece. Hermes what?
Bags?
I don't know. What are they
shoes?
Made? What are they
scarves?
Known for?
Scarves?
They're known for their bags, probably.
Oh, okay. Preston, hot water heaters.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah, what yeah. it is. Yeah.
But they have a lot of different items.
All right, plus bags from Fendi, Balenciaga. I have no idea.
Jessica Simpson.
If I'm pronouncing these correctly.
Cheryl Ladd.
Chanel, Gucci, and more. The total collection appears to be worth at least $500,000. That's in her closet.
Well, she's a virtual billionaire at this point.
Yeah.
Why not?
Speaking to Architectural Digest of her overall vision, she says, I told the designer that color was essential.
I like color.
Can color? You?
I've been thinking it over. I'd like color.
She said, I love pink.
I'll do that, Kylie. It's, it was going to be color anyway.
She said, I love pink, and I wanted a lot of it.
Pink!
Oh, gross.
Martin.
Martin, they're all pink out of the inside.
Martin Lawrence Bullard created a luxe, youthful vibe that includes neon light installations and a glam room with Barbie prints and swivel chairs.
Yeah, look at the picture. It's
so
like,
my brother-in-law is in town, and he's a wonderful contractor, and there's a couple things he's doing around the house, and I forgot to tell him about the glam room.
The glam room.
Is he still in town?
Yeah, he's still here, but okay. I've added on a whole bunch. I wanted a couple of bookshelves, and a glam room was on the bottom of the list, and I didn't get to it.
The pink swivel chairs.
A glam room. It looks like a salon. The glam
it looks
room
like, yeah, that's probably what it is, yeah, for people to come in and do her makeup and hair.
Probably. She said, my closets and glam room are very personal to me.
Well, oh if God. I not to brag, but I have a room where it's totally dedicated to me pooping. I mean, an entire room for me to poop.
That's so lucky.
She said, even down to the size of each drawer, so they fit my specific products and clothes.
By the way, Kathy, I don't want you to besmirch her makeup abilities. I watched about 3 or 4 YouTube videos of her applying makeup. She's got skill.
She's got skill?
Yeah.
I still want to get the lip gloss.
Yeah.
I forgot to go. I know. Case, I'm going to try it.
Can you do me a favor? When you get it, if you don't like it, can you give it to me?
Yes.
I think I need to work on my lips.
Yeah.
Kylie said, I spent a lot of time in those rooms, so we had to make sure that they...
How do I get out?
They were perfect.
Her home, where's that doorknob?
Her home also had to be kid-friendly after Kylie welcomed Stormy, who's 1 year old, with her boyfriend and rumored fiancé, Travis Scott. Kylie said Stormy has definitely taken over the house with her toys.
Or so her nanny says.
Now, moving over to Chris, the mominger, she wanted her home designed by Waldo Fernandez and Kathleen and Tommy Clements to be more about the peace and quiet than the glam. She said, I wanted my home to feel like a sanctuary.
Oh, Kendall, we have so many things we could do.
Perfectly calm and peaceful.
I'm going to give you an entire room that all you use it for is to poop.
She snagged it for the house for reportedly $9.9 million.
Here's where you can put all your Batman figures.
In December of 2017.
And in here, all your golf paraphernalia. And I let the room light itself, so if you are pleasuring yourself on the laptop and someone comes in, you can see them.
Still, in addition to natural wood and stone details... neutral toned furniture. She still sports a blinged out closet with a wall of Hermes bags.
So Hermes is clearly a desired designer here.
They're extremely expensive.
So there was an Hermes store. There is an Hermes store in the King of Prussia Mall in that new highfalutin end.
Yeah, I walked by it yesterday.
So I was in there, Preston, one day. This really? Is right at leading to the.
They kick you out.
I didn't know. No, the trash is in the back. But I went in because I was just going to get a gift certificate for Claire, a little thing, because, you know. And so I saw the price, and my head nearly exploded. But there were a whole bunch of heavy hitters in there, money-wise. Their credit card system went down. So on, like, you're, like, 5-6 days before Christmas.
That would be $8,000,
I mean,
please.
Can you imagine the amount of money that could not be transacted at that point?
Uh-huh.
Just looking at the general price tags, I'm like, Jesus Christ, get that fixed.
You know, I was in the Cartier store, and I saw a guy buying, I don't know what he was buying, but he was paying in cash. And he was, like, counting out the money. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's so many $100 bills.
Wow. But you know what? The ultimate,
did you get them all?
The ultimate dichotomy, Kathy, is I walk out of that place. I'm like, yeah, that's too expensive. And I walk. I went to that grilled cheese place. In the
at least you found
court.
That.
Hey, I can do this.
Yeah.
Well, don't you remember? I think it was Kim Kardashian. We had the story. It was months ago. She had an Hermes bag, but it was like something ridiculous, like just the one bag was like $40,000.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I did walk by the Gucci store, and I actually saw something in the window. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. And then I just went like immediately in my mind. I'm like, you kidding me?
Can you please explain to me how or why a bag could be worth $40,000?
Just because.
So at 44 grand, you're looking at a pretty nice car.
Yeah.
A pretty nice car.
A really nice car.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyhow, she also says, the mominger, Chris, every single space gives me pleasure. Every time you turn a corner, you find something beautiful, something delicious.
I call this my Cheesecake Factory room because, as you know, I love it.
Mm-hmm. So, anyhow, they were showing off. Now, speaking of Kylie and getting the most Instagrams, Instagram.
Oh, my God, this family.
No, and most Instagram likes. Now, you know the account, the world record egg?
Yes.
That whole thing that they post a photo of a brown egg on January 4th, and it racked up more than 52 million likes, beating out Jenner's record by far. Subsequent images posted of the egg have shown it getting cracks in it. And the newest video, which was posted on Monday, shows the egg breaking open completely. And a message appears as the egg cracks that says, "Hi, I'm the world record egg. You may have heard of me. Recently, I've started a crack. The pressure of social media is getting to me. And if you're struggling too, talk to someone. We've got this." For more information, visit talkingegg.info. And it says Talking Egg Gang. The Talking Egg Info website has links to mental health websites from around the world, including Mental Health America and the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. So they've done something positive.
How about that? That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I know people that I wonder if they are in a very dangerous social media loop. People that I see occasionally post online.
I agree, I'm like,
oh, my God. And you,
and
you,
I can't stop watching them. No, I'm
just... Yeah. God damn it, Nick. My web cam went down.
Did you watch the Fire documentary on Netflix yet?
I watched a little bit of it. I still have to finish it.
It's a really interesting thing. The only reason I bring it up is because I watched it last night. But they go into how a lot of that was based on Instagram world.
Yeah.
And the beginnings of it were models looking great, swimming in beautiful waters off the Bahamas. And it descended into eventually what real life is, and it all fell apart.
Do you want to consider here, think about this, about social media and the absolutely Herculean jump it has taken. So doing some research on Dane Cook, he's considered the first comedian to use social media and a personal website to generate fandom and ticket sales. That was on MySpace. He was doing all that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it is wild. Yeah, it's interesting. I have a weird relationship with social media. It's at an arm's length. I do see people on it constantly and using it to fill up the spaces in their life when they have idle time. And I purposely kind of avoid it now. But, you know, we all have our own thing.
I don't do Facebook. I do Twitter mostly, and occasionally Instagram. I found that like for charity things and stuff like that, or a quick thing, if I, you know, I'll put something out there trying to make some people laugh. But I see people, you know, you get into the elevator, boom, people pull out their phones and
it's a time killer.
It's a time killer.
Yeah. And to not be feel awkward standing in an elevator with somebody like you used to.
Right.
I got a text yesterday that said, "I just got busted taking selfies in the car line at my kid's school." That she was going to post on Instagram.
It's interesting. So anyhow, they've added this little side to it. A British advertising executive claims that he created the egg, and at some point a decision was made to use the account's reach to highlight mental health issues. So that's a positive.
They should have had a chicken come out of the egg. That would have done so much good.
Let's stay in the Kardashian family for a moment. We've avoided them for a little while.
Oh, my God. At least it felt so good.
It's not every single day. But yeah. Kim slapped back at the Daily Mail after the tabloid published a piece with the headline, "Makeup Mogul Suffers Bad Skin Day in L.A. Ahead of Masterclass Beauty Seminar." The mother of three took to Twitter writing, "It's psoriasis all over my face," adding a crying emoji.
It's psoriasis.
Dear Daily Mail, I've got psoriasis.
Her fans rallied to the cause. One wrote, "Heaven forbid her skin isn't flawless." While another tweeted, "Psoriasis is no laughing matter." She and I have something in common.
Absolutely.
Now.
I always thought you guys were related somehow.
She has long been open about her skin condition. In December, she reached out to fans for help on Twitter. She said, "I think the time has come that I start a medication for psoriasis."
You know what, Preston? You're a Kim, and I'm a Chloe.
All right. Yeah. You're right.
You know?
Yeah.
Which Jenner are you?
She said, "I've never seen it like this before, and I can't even cover it at this point. It's taken over my body." So
my beautiful, perfect body.
There are medications that help, Kim, so you can use those. let me see. What else? There's a lot going on here today.
So it's too much.
Not a whole lot of time.
You must have spent all night in the entertainment newsroom.
I was. I was in. Well, it's a news slash glam room. Yeah, so
same thing.
That's where I got my hair.
It was beautiful.
Modern Family's end is nigh. The hit show has been renewed for an 11th season, ABC reveal, but it will also be the final one for the 5-time Emmy winner.
Well, to be honest, I thought this season we're in currently was the last. So because they had the news that they were killing off a main character, which actually wasn't so main. It was Shelley Long. It was, you know, a parent. But I'm actually glad we're getting an additional season out of the show.
I remember when the teasers started for the show, I'm like, I wonder how that'll be. Because Ed O'Neill was in it.
Yeah.
I didn't really know anybody else. But I'm like, okay, I'll check it out for him, you know.
And it hit the ground running.
It's brilliant.
I'll tell you this. I have memories of when I was just about to have my surgery for the prostate cancer. And I would look for anything just to take my mind off that and kill time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Home Alone. Modern Family marathons were an incredible distraction. You can jump in. It's like the Goldbergs now. The Goldbergs, you can jump in. I don't care how many times you've seen the episode. You're going to freaking love it.
And even if you don't really know all the characters, you can just jump right in.
Jump right in and figure it out.
In its final season, there will be more milestone events than anyone who has been a fan of the series has seen so far. And that's according to Carrie Burke, the president of ABC Entertainment. Deadline is reporting that the season will likely land somewhere between 18 and 22 episodes.
I wonder if any of the characters will get a spinoff.
You could do it.
You could do it.
You look at Big Bang Theory, which is currently in its final. We got the last 10 episodes, I think, airing the Big Bang Theory. Parsons has young Sheldon. He's also in that new Zac Efron movie, Ted Bundy.
Yep. Tyra Banks is one of the most successful and groundbreaking supermodels of all time. After rising to fame on the catwalk, she launched America's Next Top Model. And making it one of the longest-running unscripted formats in TV history.
But I have Posiris.
But listen to this. No, now she is unveiling Model Land.
Is that an amusement park?
An attraction set to open late this year in Santa Monica, California.
You must be this good-looking to ride.
The 21,000-square-foot model-themed space will include retail and dining options and will be open to the public. She said, I've always been insanely inspired by attractions like Disneyland and Universal Studios and have wanted to bring that spirit of adventure and storytelling to the world of modeling.
Tower of Beauty, all the great attractions.
She said, but not the exclusive modeling industry. I'm talking about modeling for the masses.
Wow.
Model Land has been in the works for more than 10 years. And she says the space is more than just that. Is this Jurassic Park?
No, it's Model Land.
Oh, Model Land.
Ladies and gentlemen, prehistoric Chrissy Teigen. Prehistoric Christy Brinkley.
Model Land is not just a place to us. It's a movement, she says.
There's a pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl. Perfect.
Pterodactyl. I love it.
There's one problem. You can't have all these models on one island. Nature will find a way.
She said, yes, it's an attraction and a destination, but above all, it's a genesis of people with all types of different beauty to feel seen and validated.
Oh, my God.
You can walk the Velasa runway.
Velasa runway. I like that.
And more Model Land will empower them to embrace, celebrate, and adorn their own unique beauty in ways they never thought possible.
And you know what, Preston? Said. The food courts don't serve food.
None at all.
There's a bottle of air for you to breathe.
Model Land.
Also, come Tyrannosaurus on. Rex. Yeah. You got one of those.
Yeah.
Tyrannosaurus.
I love it. Better. Anything Tyra, you got it.
Tyrannosaurus. So anyhow, look for Model Land. It'll be coming out.
Triceratops.
If only we could say it.
I know.
What else I have for you? Beloved children's series Sesame Street will ring in its 50th anniversary with a year-long celebration, like we did with MMR.
Oh, that's so cool.
A full year-long.
I think that Metallica play that as well?
Maybe. Sesame Workshop will launch new social impact initiatives, digital campaigns, and community events in honor of the milestone anniversary, including a nationwide road trip featuring Sesame Street characters and an expansion of the Sesame Street in Communities initiative. In addition, they will air a 50th season focused on the power of possibilities. And the show will have a star-studded primetime TV special in November, too.
I wonder if they'll do anything locally at the theme park.
Yeah, at Sesame Place.
Yeah.
Is that the only Sesame theme park in the country?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah. It's a really cool park,
yeah,
too. I do like that place.
They just added a second roller coaster.
Really?
Yeah, so they have two roller coasters, which are pretty decent. I mean, the kids can ride them, sure. So they're a kid roller coaster. But yeah. I mean, Jace is seven, and he
compared
he loves
to Beauty them. World.
So what?
So
it can't compare.
Yeah.
All right, and then one last thing. Party of Five is back with a timely twist on it. The '90s Fox drama followed the trials and tribulations of the Salinger siblings, played by Matthew Fox, Neve Campbell, Scott Wolf, Lacey Chabert. I forgot all the star power in that cast.
Yeah, but yeah.
They were orphaned after their parents were killed in a car accident. Now, Freeform has announced it has ordered 10 episodes of a reboot of it, and this time it will focus on five siblings dealing with their parents being deported to Mexico. Freeform president Tom Eshim said the show embodies the heart and soul of what it means to be a family in the most trying of times.
Here's the amazing part of that angle, Preston. They're not Mexican.
Oh, they're not. Yeah. They were just deported for no reason.
They're Swedish.
Let's see. Chris Kaiser and Amy Lippman, the creators of the original series, are behind the reboot. So the people that did the first one, which was very successful, are going to handle the second one.
Bring back the original cast and just have them pretend that they're Mexican. That would go over really well.
People would love it.
Yeah.
Let's do the clips. Here we go. Prodigy follows a concerned mother as she determines the cause of her son's disturbing behavior.
Oh, this looks good.
In this clip, Taylor Schilling discusses what interested her in the role that she plays in the movie. Here we go. Oh. What the hell?
What's happening?
Press the wrong button. On
here. Well, when I read it, the last third of the movie, when Sarah really shifts into gear, this woman makes some really wild choices to protect her son. And she's a fascinating character. I mean, it's very interesting. And she really is going through the ringer trying to sort out what's happening to her kid. Because it's not crystal clear. But it's scary.
Shut the f*** up!
Is she the girl that was in Meet the Parents?
No, she was in Orange is the New Black.
There's Terry Polo or something like that?
Polo, yeah. We had Taylor Schilling on the phone one time and it was a really good interview, but at one point, I think the cops were driving by, and we were talking to her about that. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Well, anytime these interviews happen, and they're in some sort of hotel suite in New York,
you're going to always hear
the siren. Right.
Well, this is actually from the people who did the exorcism of Emily Rose.
Okay. The Prodigy hits theaters February 8th. Let's do the next clip. Criminal Minds may be ending its run tonight, but it will live on forever in syndication. Here, Joe Mantegna talks about the show's popularity around the world.
Some journalists came up to me and says, do you have any idea how popular you are in France? It was the number one show. I said, no, but I'll take note of that. That's good to know. And it's funny to hear yourself talk those different languages, too. Flipping through the stations in Munich, so they obviously figured, oh, he's the oldest guy in the group. So they picked a guy who sounded like he was 100. Because he's like, roast him, roast him.
That's a kaboom. The final episode of Criminal Minds tonight, 10 o'clock on CBS.
God almighty.
That show is on all the
Unbelievable.
Time.
Unbelievable.
All the time. And that's what I got in entertainment for you. We need to go ahead and take a break right now. We got a lot of stuff to do today. We have several guests on the program. Dane Cook is going to be checking in this morning. We have two UFC fighters who are going to be battling out against each other, competitors, in March at the Wells Fargo Center. Justin Gaethje and Edson Barboza are both going to be in our studio. Should be pretty interesting having those guys sitting next to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Those things and more coming up. We're going live on Fox Good Day as well. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Real quick, I got an email I thought was really cute and wanted to play the audio that came along with it. They sent a video along, but this is from Vicky Falcone. She said, hey, I'm the troop leader For the 5th grade Girl Scout Junior Level Troop 30726 from Atco, Waterford, New Jersey. Last night we were working on our business owner bag. We were discussing how to start a business and how advertising is part of making a business successful. Since we are in the middle of Girl Scout cookie season, we decided to make an ad for their current business, which is cookies. And I thought they did a great job and wanted to share it all with you. So did you guys see the video yet?
I did not, no.
Right, let's play the audio for you because this is adorable. Here we go.
Preston, Steve,
Casey Boy,
Kathy,
Marissa,
Nick.
Would you like to buy a box or two of Girl Scout cookies?
S'mores, shortbread,
caramel delights,
peanut butter patties,
lemonade.
Thanks a lot.
Gluten free.
We deliver. Go Girl Scouts! Buy cookies, buy a box today. They're only here once a year, and then they go away. Cookies.
I love it.
Do you have the contact information?
I do.
It says they say we deliver.
Did they say that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. She said they love to sing this song when they are at cookie booths and have had customers come up to us and say that they weren't going to buy, but they had to buy at least a box once they heard them sing. For half the troop, this is their 6-year selling, and you can see that they are still enthusiastic.
Did I hear them correctly that you can buy them and send them overseas?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah.
That is a great idea. I would do that. I'll contact him.
Thank you to the Girl Scout Junior Level Troop 30726 for that.
Well done.
I got to get some Girl Scout cookies. I haven't gotten any far this
so
year. What, Case?
I bought 5 boxes, like, right off. I was just driving down Straight Street Media.
driving along.
And they were there. And
they flew out in front of your car.
Well, no. So they were on either side of the street.
Oh, you're surrounded.
Right. So I get out of the car. I was just going to get some pico de gallo and guacamole.
And you're driving along. La, la, la,
and I was like, you know, all right, fine. I'll get some. I will get some. Oh, and then I got to the table, and they didn't have any Thin Mints. So I was like, oh, thank God. I got out of this one. And then I got back in my car, and I turned around, and I started going the other way, and I stopped, and they'd
blocked the road.
They did. They had boxes and boxes. I'm like, all right, let me get some Thin Mints.
Across the street.
Where are you going?
Yeah. They got you.
Yeah. Right,
well, you're contributing to a great organization, so that's a good thing. Speaking of business deals, like selling cookies, I was not aware. So Steve has mentioned from time to time that he is on the call, you know, he's the
block, do not call.
Do not call list for solicitors.
I went to the site, .org or gov or whatever it is.
And then you mentioned yesterday, and you're like, oh, yeah, I get these calls. They're from so-and-so. And I was like, no, I don't get those particular calls. And I asked how many you get, and you said you go like 10 or 12. And I thought you were going to say a month, which I probably don't even get that many. A day.
A day?
Come on. That he gets.
I kid you not.
And they're from where? Do you want to say?
Most of them are from Hatboro. And I'll read the transcription. It's from Medicare. So it's if you do not call back soon, Medicare will label you ineligible for coverage. Press now to speak with me or another pain specialist. Sometimes we'll start with, hi, it's Maria or somebody like that. And press 9 to be put on the do not call list. I pushed 9 a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
And I kid you not. I wear an Apple Watch during the show. And sometimes it'll go off, and I'll, like, at the end of the show, after about 9 o'clock, the calls start up and will continue throughout the day till about 7
that's
at night.
You can't block the numbers?
So, Kathy, I've actually made the numbers contacts in my, because you can block them, so I put it under this. S-H-I.
The other
comes up, and that's what comes up, but the calls still come through. Whatever they're using is a number scrambler or something
of that?
Yeah,
it'll change. So I had one that was calling me at least, I would say, like 2 or 3 times a day. And every time they would call, I would block the number. And listen, it was a ton of numbers, but eventually the calls stopped. I don't know if it had anything to do with me blocking the number or what. And it was also in a different language, so I couldn't go through the
prompts. I've stopped those.
But I couldn't go through the prompts to stop it because I didn't know what they were saying.
You didn't know when they were telling you to push the do not call number.
Yeah. Are you guys getting calls? Are they robots or are they actually human?
These are robots.
Okay.
I don't think, I can't remember the last time I had a human.
Yeah.
Call like this. Also, I put myself on the do not call list, so that certainly helped.
I was getting
calls. But some of these do worm their way through.
Yeah, I was getting calls all the time from my car warranty was up.
I get those. Yeah. I get those.
And I say, I'm not interested. And I just wonder, because I did telemarketing for a while. I was never selling anything.
This has got to be the latest scam case.
Yeah, I was only doing surveys, right?
Yeah.
But I'm fairly certain that if you were a dick to me on the phone, because I had a little computer screen on me,
right?
And I had a couple of different options, like don't call back,
right?
Or I would hit like call back at a certain time. So if I knew what time it was, if you were a jerk, I would be like, you don't have to be so mean about it. So I'm like, all right, call this guy back.
So what exactly did you do?
I have a prompt, so if I say, hi, I'm Casey from so-and-so, people would just go, not interested, and they would just hang up, and I go, okay, and I would have a prompt on my screen.
Back. If they were mean to him, he would call them back.
Or don't call back, or not interested, or whatever, okay. And then one would be like, call back. Yeah.
Yes. Real quick, so it would send into the system for someone else at the company to call them back at another time.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So I got that. That makes sense.
Like call back at 6:30 a.m.
Okay,
like that. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what you would do.
I don't think that your warranty on your car up is a scam, though. I think
it is because I'm getting for a car I haven't owned. That was like four cars ago.
Oh.
And I'll also get. We've detected an issue with your Microsoft computer. I don't have any Microsoft computers.
Well, and I love the ones that go, "Hi, don't hang up."
Can you hear me?
Yes.
And then you say, what time is it?
Wait.
Can you hear me?
Well, do you know what the reason sometimes that happens is? If you say the word yes, you have verbally contractualized something to where they can then contact
voice.
You again or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. There's some legalese in there that says that once you, if they say, can you hear me? And you say yes, you may be actually affirming that you want to talk to them or something along
those. They can also use that audio, Preston, to have you respond in the positive to other things and use it for nefarious reasons.
I just had no idea, like a dozen a day.
That's crazy.
Maybe we get six or seven a month.
Yeah. Now, I went down to work out yesterday.
And I don't get any on my cell phone. That's on your cell phone. Go ahead.
For about an hour. When I came up, there were three messages on my phone. Not only that, they're leaving recorded messages. And for the first time ever having a cell phone, last month, my messages maxed out. Recorded messages. So that
keeps leaving a message.
It keeps leaving an audio message.
And you're probably not deleting them.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Sometimes the phone number that comes up, are there any digits, a series of digits that are similar to your own phone number?
Yes.
Because if you see that, don't even answer it. Because it happens to me all the time, and it's some kind of weird thing where you look and it looks vaguely like your phone number.
Yeah, vaguely familiar.
Maybe the first three digits are the same outside of the prefix. And then you answer, you're like, wait a minute, that looks weird.
Yeah.
But anytime I see that, it's a clear indicator that I should not answer that call.
So both Claire and I have the AT&T service and the whole thing. And hers, a lot of times, she'll get a notice on the screen that says,
yes,
I get one
it'll tell you
scam
who it is.
Scam call or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't get that on mine for some reason. But this, the only one that I get with this consistency to this laughable, miserable extent is this Medicare call. And I guarantee you, after today, around 9 o'clock, after 9 o'clock, the calls will start.
Really?
Wow. That's weird that you get that many. Let me get some calls on the line. I'm going to go to Donnie. Hi, Donnie. Good morning.
Hey guys, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, buddy?
So I was listening and I heard you say earlier that you actually press 9 for the do not call on those guys, and that's probably the biggest mistake you can make because that lets them know it's a robocall. You're not going to actually talk to anyone, but hitting that button lets them know that they're actually getting in and getting you to listen to whatever they're saying.
So, Donnie, just a quick question. Now, I can certainly believe that. I certainly believe that that's probably the case. But I'm in general on the do not call site. I posted my information to not be called. Yeah. How does this get through?
The problem is the do not call registry. Like, legit telemarketers will respect that, but these are just robocalls that are spoofing numbers and randomly dialing.
All right.
So they're probably not checking that registry at all.
Because, you know, Donnie, I remember there was a story, and Preston, you reported on it. There was a guy who set up a system that was robocalling like three or four states, mm-hmm. an outlandish amount of calls. Mm-hmm. I think that guy went to jail.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that eventually, yeah. if they can track you down, they can do something like that. Hang on. Let me go to, I have several people to go to. I'm going to go to Dawn here. Hey, Dawn, good morning.
Hey, morning. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's okay.
All good, Dawn. What's up?
All right. I used to do cold calling for donations for, you know, veterans groups, things like that, for people to donate their goods. Mm-hmm. And I got a guy, and all of a sudden he goes into, oh, no, 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 no speak English, no speak English.
Mm-hmm.
I said, all right. I hung up. Waited about an hour, hour and a half. I call him back. He gets on the line. I'm like, oh, I'm calling from Washington State Lottery to let you know you've won $1 million. He gets all excited, yelling, happy, and I'm like, oh, thought he couldn't speak English.
But you see, you're coming into his house.
Yeah,
you're coming into his house. It's not like he owes you. Did he owes it to be honest to you on the phone? You made the call to him.
You're kind of a dick, Don.
But, you know, and then I hung up. My boss.
You showed him. I'll teach you to answer your phone at home.
And my boss looks at me and she's like, you know, I should write you up for that, but that was good. That was really good.
Now go sell some fake aluminum siding.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I will say, if I get those donation calls, though, I'll at least hear them out, and then, you know, if it's somebody that I've already donated to, because most times it's somebody that you've donated to already at a different event, and that's where they got your information.
Did you get these?
I got one yesterday, and I was, I saw the phone line, and I'm like, this looks suspicious, mm-hmm. and I go, hello, and hi, we're from, then they said Purple Heart, and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
you're legitimate, okay. And I didn't have anything to donate, but I held on.
Because if they do it that way, too, but a lot of times I get...
This is Earl Stanson from the Police Benevolent Association.
Dude, I think it's the same guy.
In 14 different countries.
I think it's the same guy for everybody that calls for the police organizations.
Right?
Same accent.
We counted on you last year, and we know we can count on you again for this.
We do all sorts of police stuff. I already donate myself.
Yep. Maybe the Cordell dude.
It's got to be. Yeah.
It sounds like him.
Well, how's your marriage? Is it a little shaky?
It sounds like him. I agree, Steve. Yeah.
Well, I get one daily from an organization that I love, and I don't know how to respond anymore. But it's from the American Red Cross, and they got it because we do the blood drive every year.
Yes,
I donate at least two or three times a year, including at our blood drive. But I don't know how to tell them to stop calling me,
dude. Okay, and I love the Red Cross.
Yes.
We love the Red Cross.
Absolutely,
great stuff. But they are relentless.
They are relentless.
When it comes to tracking down people on and you can understand, they need blood.
100%.
Totally understand.
But they call a lot.
I'm sympathetic,
but
I'm also annoyed.
Okay, so Preston and Nick, the ASPCA, love them. And I love all animal charities.
Sure.
I get a call. I'm surrounded by 10 cats and a dog that we've rescued doing 9,000 different animal charities.
Yep.
Guys, I got it.
I'm good.
Yeah. I got it.
Yeah.
You know, but you do, if someone's going to make a case for that, I'll say, yes, I don't make donations over the phone. Could you direct me to a website so I can at least vet it a little bit? And I think when they get, listen, that is great, but I understand. What can we put you down for?
Right.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I will entertain it. I want to be charitable.
Yeah.
Send me the information so I can vet it a little bit.
You're getting hit up all the time whenever I go to a store. Would you like to donate to this charity? The best one that I've seen is, would you like to round your bill up? Right? So if your bill is $14.69, would you like to round your bill up to $15? And all that. And I'm like, okay, you know what? That's actually a pretty good idea.
It's reasonable.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's totally.
I love round numbers.
When I go to I'm buying pet food or something at a place or whatever, and I go in and they'll say, do you want to donate to St. Jude's?
Five.
Of course. Put it on there. That's fine.
Yeah.
At the point of purchase, absolutely.
Listen, at some point, you may have already given, and they're just going to have to understand.
Especially if you have a charity that you give a lot to.
we had the Girl Scouts, you know, that we play the audio from. And when you're walking out of a grocery store and you've been asked for the dozenth time if you want to buy Girl Scout cookies, guys, I already bought. And even maybe given them a couple bucks.
I do that. I'll just give them money.
I know, but. Yeah. You know, after you've done it a few times, you're like, I gave. You know, I already did it.
I'm Preston. This is Debbie. I'm a Girl Scout. I'd like to know if you'd be interested in buying some Thin Mints. Now, you've been very generous in years past. I know we can rely on you for some more Thin Mint purchases.
Our former intern, Jeremy.
Oh.
Hey, Jeremy. Totally. We have your music ready to go. I had no idea. Hey, man.
There is this app that I think runs on black magic. I have no idea how it works. It's crazy. It's called RoboKiller.
RoboKiller.
And this blocks every single, like, scam call you get. In the last 3 months, it's blocked, like, over 80 calls for me.
Wow.
And my phone doesn't even ring. I just get an alert like, hey, we just blocked this number. But the fun thing it does is if someone picks up on the scammer's end, RoboKiller starts messing with them. And it plays one of, like, 50... automated responses.
All right, I'm in the
records the whole thing.
I'm in the App Store right now. Is this an in App Store app or is it a second party?
No, it's. I mean, I don't know. It's in the Apple App Store.
So it says
RoboKiller.
RoboKiller.
How do you spell it?
R O B O K I L L E R.
Hold on. Well, we were.
I'm sorry. I'm not. You have fun. Laugh. Joke it up. I'm trying to kill calls here. All right, RoboKiller spam caller, right?
Yeah, it's like $10 a year. They'll give you a week free, but I have no idea how it blocks stuff. My phone doesn't even ring. Like, I'm not sure how this thing works.
How does it know that it's a scam?
I don't know. I think it's not
because I wouldn't want it to block just a random number that you don't have saved in your phone that might be someone.
That's never happened for me yet. And I think what it does is it's working off of known scam banks. Then, as you have the app, if one gets through,
They found him. They tracked him down. They killed him.
The robos got him.
We lost you for a second.
Jeremy, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, we lost you. Right.
Can you do us a favor? Can we just to help Casey? Can you verify it's you and spell RoboKiller? We lost him again.
Yeah, he's dead. All right, Jeremy.
Killbot's got him.
Yeah. Thank you.
He will be missed. Thank you.
Bye, Jeremy. Isn't that a little confusing that you get a guy calling and telling you how to block robocalls and the call goes out twice during the time?
I would second guess using that.
Listen, Jeremy, we found out where you live. And we know you've been very supportive of RoboKiller in the past, but now it's time for you to get killed.
Let me go to, I have Vanessa. Hey, Vanessa.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. What's up, Vanessa?
I actually got a telemarketer that called from my daughter-in-law's phone number.
Okay.
It came up on my phone that she was calling, and I answered, and it was a telemarketer using her number as her ID.
So what did you ask them? I mean, did you say, look, this phone number is coming from my, somebody I know?
That's what I said. I said, this is my daughter-in-law's phone number. How did you get this? And they hung up on me.
Okay. All right. So there's somehow or another, maybe they can get into your contacts. That's terrifying.
That
right?
is very terrifying.
Okay.
Yeah, there's
you.
Apps for all of that.
What?
Like that you can have, that it can call from somebody else's phone number. I remember doing that like when we first had cell phones.
No kidding. Wow. Okay.
I'm buying my RoboKiller right now.
I'm going to go to Ben. Hi, Ben. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Taking your phone call.
We love you.
What's up?
We're curious what you have to share in the conversation, Ben.
RoboKiller!
I'm not RoboKiller. So I got a call like a year ago from a magazine company. And they were like, oh, you owe us like $400. And I was like, who buys magazines? And they were like,
That's great.
And they were like, you bought the magazines. I'm like, no, I didn't. And they were like, yeah, we have your, they're like, we have your confirmation here. Do you want us to play it for you? And I'm like, yeah, play it for me. And they replayed a phone call that I guess had received years earlier. And they had my recording saying yes.
Yes.
In there. Like I could tell it was my voice.
Uh-oh, they found him, too!
They got him, too!
make the payment.
Man, we know you've been trying to tell people how to avoid robocalls, and now it's time to kill you.
That's the thing.
That's crazy.
I ended up, you're right, I ended up, like, fighting it, you know, but they, like, had my voice and everything. It was nuts.
Wow. Okay, then that's somehow, and thank you, by the way, they get you to answer, I guess, a question where you affirm, and then they have that recording, and then they can, listen, they're doing this illegally.
Yes.
And they can get you, and maybe they go through the hopes that that it's just too much of a hassle for you to track them down and figure it out and go through the proper channels to fix the problem, and they just keep scamming you. That could be it. Let me get, are you working on your robocaller over there?
Oh, you bet your ass.
Okay. Right, sorry.
Steve's head is down. I'm like, he's something else. I'm in going the mode.
Okay,
here.
All right, yeah. I'm going to go to Samantha. Hi, Samantha. Good morning. And we just lost Samantha.
What, guys, isn't this a little chilling?
It is a little.
People calling up, trying to fight the system, and systematically, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I assume they're all being killed.
By the way, the name of the app is RoboKiller.
Yeah, it's true. By the way, Samantha was calling. She works for a collection agency, or either that or she did, and that that RoboKiller would block their calls. Now, they're doing legitimate calls. Some might see it as being harassed, but it's legitimate. You know, these bill collectors get paid to do that. So that's kind of interesting. Let me go next to... right when I went to that call, they hung up.
Oh, my God.
Something's going...
happening.
I'm terrified. I will go next to...
Tristan.
There's someone behind you. Let me go to Andy. Hi, Andy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up, Andy?
A couple years ago, I got a new phone from work, and it must have been a recycled phone number from some deadbeat, because I immediately started getting collection agents calling me and, you know, harassing me. And when I told them I wasn't the guy, of course, they didn't believe me. So I just kept getting more and more calls. Eventually, I think they sold off the number to, like, every telemarketer robo service ever just to get a couple bucks out of it. And I get today about 10 calls a day from an Indian company claiming to be U.S. pharmacy that wants to sell me off-brand Viagra and Cialis.
Nice. That's ridiculous. How much are they selling it for?
I know. That's, you know, that's
expensive. That's just ridiculous. What are we talking about?
Andy, do you engage them in the conversation a little bit?
So once in a while, because it's just, you know, it's so annoying that I just want to have some fun after a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, I say, hey, U.S. Pharmacy, where are you guys located? You know, and they got the heavy Indian accent, and there's no way. And so they go, California. And I go, oh, really? I said, I'm from California. What part? He's like, north.
The sunny part.
North California. That's totally where I am. What city? And then they paused for like 5 seconds. This one guy went, ASDF space bar. I went, great. That's near me. You know?
You're near ASDF space bar? You know, it's actually, Andy, and there was a story. I remember a story reported about this a few years ago. Well, actually many years ago. I think it might have been in India or one of these countries where the calls were coming from. They actually named a town like Atlanta or something like that. So they, you know, I'm calling from Atlanta, you know, so that they could throw off people. Now, obviously, the technology's gotten a lot better since then. But any way you can do a workaround, I mean, the fact that I get bombarded with this many calls.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, like a dozen a day.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that many. That sucks, Steve.
Yeah.
Well, I got RoboKiller, and what it does is you go through it, it gets access to your contacts. And Jeremy said he hasn't had anything blocked that was of any real import.
What is this clip, Casey?
This is just an example of a RoboKiller call.
Okay.
I guess maybe
this number.
To me, it popped up on a dialer. I don't know.
Okay, no, we just this is not an incoming call line. This is actually Area 51.
Oh, wow.
Yikes. So I'm gonna go get the trace report and bring it back. I want to know exactly where this person is sitting.
You need to stall him. What's going on?
I got Area 51 on here somehow, and they're flipping out that we have their number. Seriously, that's what it is. You should hear these people. They're tracing the phone call to hang up.
Derek, no!
Oh, that's awesome.
Do not speak a word of this to anybody.
Okay, it was worth what
that's
I just
good.
Spent. Yeah.
I like
Wait,
that.
How much did it cost?
$1,000.
Oh, wow.
I have to send the money to Atlanta, India.
Atlanta, India?
Yeah.
That's where their headquarters are?
No, it was like $20.
Okay, all right. Interesting. Well, that's harassing, no question, man.
Yeah.
If you're getting that many.
The whole thing about the cell phone, and you remember the first time you started to get junk calls on your cell phone? Yeah. It's like, wasn't this supposed to be the last bastion of... that's why I got the landline. The landline was really to be, you know, I kept the landline, was to have that be where all these things got dumped off on.
Hey, when we prank called you, Preston, oh, why did you answer that? I have the audio. Not that one.
Dude, I don't remember.
You answer your phone.
That was so long ago, but...
Yeah.
You called him, didn't you, Casey?
But it didn't come from my number. But
I thought it came from the work number. Didn't it come from MMR?
No.
It did not come from a familiar number at all. Yeah. And I answered it because somebody was calling me. I don't know. I think it may have not been around a time where stuff like that was happening regularly, but it was very funny. It was a joke call. You plug in a phone number and they send these pre-recorded messages to you that sounds like a person having a conversation. It was pretty funny. I remember getting that call, and then I never said anything to you guys about it. It wasn't until weeks later
that
you guys pointed out it was a scam. I just kind of let it go. This guy called up and said that I hit his car, and what he was saying didn't make any sense at all to me.
You handled it well, but you're like, I hear you. That's the exact way I would have been. Like, dude, what are you talking about? Do you have the audio case?
I'm looking for it.
God damn it. It's because it's very funny.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, there's a line where the guy goes, "Hey, listen, stop yapping."
And you're like, "Dude, who is this?" I'm gonna kill you.
Stop. Did you say stop yapping?
Yeah. Let me. While he's looking for that, I'm gonna go to Mary here. Hey, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Mary?
So I get these calls all the time. I usually answer, and I'll try to, you know, because it starts off with a robocall, and then they redirect you to somebody in India. So I usually try to get the person on the phone just to say, take me off your calling list.
Uh-huh.
So the guy was asking about car insurance or the renewal of the warranty. And I said, actually, I don't even own a car. I just want to ask you to take me off your list. And he starts going, so you're wasting my time. Why are you on my line? And then he starts saying, are you an effing moron? Are you an effing moron? And he's cussing me out and telling me to kiss his ass. And so then the next day, I get the same call. I get on the line, but this time I don't say anything. He's going, hello, hello, is there somebody there? Why aren't you talking? Is there a D in your mouth? Is your mouth full of D?
Whoa.
Get out of here.
I swear to God.
Wow.
That's no way to sell Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah.
Why don't you fill your mouth with Thin Mints instead?
Yeah. Wouldn't Thin Mints be much better than D?
Anyway, go ahead, Mary.
I eventually had to hang up, but he would have went on for as long as I would have stayed on the line.
And that was the end of it, though? You never heard from him again?
I get the calls now. I just don't answer.
Right, that's a complete invasion. You know, I mean, the other caller called earlier, you know, she calls into someone's house. You're coming into someone's... Yeah. When I was Agreed. Doing... the calling, when I was doing, you know, the cold calling like that for a business, briefly, it was a nightmare. I know, Casey, you had the same situation. I always felt horrible interrupting people.
Here, Casey found the recording the prank that was played on me, and then we got to take a break because we're going live on Fox Good Day, but here we go.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, who's this?
So you the one who hit my car?
I have no idea who you're talking to.
Well, you left your phone number on my windshield.
No. Somebody played a prank with you or something,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, stop yapping and listen.
Who are you?
Listen, B, you scratched my fender and busted out my taillight.
Why would I leave a phone number and then deny it, dude? You got the wrong number, okay?
Yes,
it would be stupid for somebody to leave a number and then have you call and deny it. That's the whole fact of leaving a number, so... You got the wrong number, bud. See ya.
Who your insurance company?
Listen, stop yapping. Stop yapping.
Why would I say I left the number and I'm denying it? What are you talking about?
Well, what I love is that they can't get too offensive. This guy who's clearly, they're trying to make him sound like he's from the hood, stop your yapping. That's the way. Enough of this gobbledygook.
I just remember being confused.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, that's really, really level-headed thinking on your part. Because I would have been like,
F you!
Yeah. Why would I leave contact information and then deny it?
Yeah.
Well, I hope that fixed your problem, Steve.
I hope so. Killer, yeah, so. Yeah.
All right, but listen, we got to take a break. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day, so we're going to return and do that as well as the Bizarre File. We'll get some UFC fighters coming in this morning. Tell you more about those guys. Dane Cook is going to be on the program. A lot happening. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 93.3 WMMR and Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum is Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first. It's the best lift ticket deal all year and a spectacle on snow. MMR ups our game in the prize department, including a $2,000 cash prize for overall best design, $1,000 for the coolest Captain Morgan theme. Sprint has a quick $500 for the fastest sled and a booby prize for the new category, Preston and Steve's Favorite Fail. Mandatory sled registration through February 24th. Available at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019 at Jack Frost Mountain.
Presented by Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum. Live like a captain. Join the crew. And sponsored by Sprint and JP Mascaro and Sons.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
In just a moment, we're going to go live on Fox Good Day. In fact, 30 seconds from right now, I've just been told. So we will get to that in due time. I would like to remind you that there is a flash sale on merchandise for the Cardboard Classic. Looks like we're going on a little bit sooner than I thought. So the music means Fox Good Day. Let's do that thing. Here we go. I'll tell you about the flash sale in a moment.
Good morning, Speaker Pelosi, and good morning, Kate May. Let's talk to President Steve now. Samsung has a new dating app out, guys. It's called refrigerator dating. What you do is you open up your refrigerator door, take a picture of the inside of your refrigerator, and then post it, and then people decide, do I want to date that person or not, based on the contents and the look of the fridge.
Wow.
You swipe. It's like Tinder. You swipe right or left.
Preston, what do you think of this?
It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
All right.
That is just... Are we just coming up with novelty ideas now?
That's clearly
that pretty much
because
it?
Honestly, the real thing you want to see is the inside of their dryer. That'll tell you everything. You got to look for skid marks and stuff like that. No, yeah. The refrigerator, I don't... But Kathy said,
no, they're,
Kathy
they're
said
trying
it
to,
has sense to it.
Yeah, they're trying to show how organized you are. If I was dating, I think I would love this. And depending on what your refrigerator looked like,
oh,
I would absolutely 100%.
It's a
I
deal
would swipe.
Breaker?
Yeah,
but
I think
Kathy,
so.
I could clean my fridge and then take a picture
absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely. You know how to super clean fridge? Charles Manson.
You can also use a different picture when you, you know, or the best picture you've ever taken on a dating app. But if
but
this
people
is,
are going to lie. They're going to lie.
Of course.
Well, they lie anyway on the internet.
I know. So it's just a way for Samsung to sell.
Of course.
You know, but Samsung. But guys are thinking, who has the cleanest refrigerator of your group there at MMR?
Oh, my God. Do you even need to ask? It's Romano.
I regularly organize my fridge.
You have? Do you guys have any idea how insanely germophobic and squeaky clean she is?
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Unbelievable.
Obsessive.
Yeah, and I don't care. I love it.
She makes Howie Mandel fridge. Look like a slob. Yeah.
Organizing and cleaning things makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're clean. Who's... No, I'm not going to...
Say who's the worst?
Well, like, who has, like, a head of lettuce that's been in there for about 6 months?
Casey just literally put his hands, like, he just went...
Yeah.
Like that.
Well,
when you see, just gestured, like, of course it's me.
I don't know, man. I just assumed you guys would all say me. I don't necessarily know. I don't know. I think maybe you.
Listen,
or...
we've got... you and I have five people living in each household.
Six.
Six, I'm sorry. Our refrigerator is a mess. It's just loaded.
And you cook
stuff.
A lot. Our refrigerator is categorized by whatever restaurant we got the takeout from. Honestly, it's actually very orderly because everything's all in pre-done containers.
Okay.
We don't do a lot of cooking at that point.
But to me, it's not just about how it looks. Sometimes refrigerators smell.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? So you can look nice, but if you have something that's been there a while.
You got to use Arm & Hammer, right?
Yeah.
That kills that.
No, just clean it.
Mike, I see you as having a bit of a messy fridge.
He's got a bachelor fridge.
Well, who's you?
Right? I got to figure you have a lot of...
I can tell you what my fridge would look like if I posted it. Empty.
Now,
what
empty?
Does that say? It's empty.
Yeah, you go out for meals and you live by yourself, right, Mike? So, I mean,
exactly.
what's the point of having anything more in the fridge than you need?
It probably just means I'm an empty vessel.
Empty and cold.
Empty and cold, just like my heart.
Empty and cold.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. See you later, guys. Take care. When I was single, though, I had the stereotypical bachelor fridge. It was, you know, ketchup and beer.
Yeah, six pack.
And some Chinese food leftovers. And that's pretty much it.
Snapple. I'd have, like, at that time, Snapple was big. And then, same sort of deal. In fact, for many years, I didn't have a full fridge. I had a mini fridge.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Like a college dorm fridge.
Sure. Put six pack soda in it. Marissa?
Yeah, I have beer, wine, champagne, some cheese.
Pringles.
And the Hatfield hams that we got a couple months ago.
A couple months ago. Wait, you were supposed to give those to, like, your mom and dad, right?
I had to take it over to my mom's house, and I totally forgot.
That's funny. So good. Is it in your freezer?
It's in the fridge.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's time to say bye-bye to that.
Mm-hmm. Right. What's in your? I have an onion.
What currently is in your refrigerator?
And I have an onion. Whose refrigerator?
Kathy's.
Oh.
There is a crap load of vegetables and fruit.
Right.
And then there is a Whispering Angel rosé.
Angel.
And pomegranate juice. And then, like, condiments on the side.
So Kathy eats... Well, I know you're doing a different sort of approach to health right now, but on
it's
any given
not eating.
Right, you'll eat 44 pounds of fruit.
I don't eat 44 pounds of fruit. I eat cut up fruit, and yes, I do eat it every day. That's like I love fruit. To me, I could use fruit as like a treat, as a dessert, if I can't have actual dessert.
I've gotten to that point too, Kathy. I've been, by the way, I hit my big goal, weight goal today. Thank you very much this morning.
Which is?
200 pounds.
All right.
Which I was right before Christmas or the beginning of December. I was 218, so I lost 18 pounds.
Wow.
So I'm pretty excited about that. But yeah, Kathy, I've gotten to the point now too. I've been so strict on my, that like an apple. Ooh, dessert, apple, yay!
You know, food is high in sugar.
I've trained myself to do that, and it is now satisfying.
Well, I'm in the process. I'm trying to do that.
It takes a couple weeks to get there, but you get there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But anyhow, examine your own fridge today. See what you're all about. Find out about yourself. Before we went to Mike and Alex, I had mentioned the flash sale for Cardboard Classic merchandise.
Yes.
In order to get it in time for tomorrow, and we have the new Cardboard Classic winter hat and hoodie. If you want to get it in time for the event, you need to order by tomorrow.
Oh.
Noon tomorrow, and you'll have it in time for the event. So
I need to do that then.
Time is of the essence. Click the shop tab at WMMR.com, and you will find them, and you will look awesome while you're at the event.
I liked last year's. I like this year's better.
They're even better.
Yeah.
I agree. Hold on. Marissa, you wanted to chime in?
Yeah, actually, really quickly, this Friday from noon to 2, I'm going to be at the Sprint store on Market Street, and we're going to be giving away lift tickets for the Cardboard Classic, plus a chance to win a VIP overnight stay.
Ooh.
And I think we're going to have some hats out there, too.
And you know what? I mentioned somebody yesterday was talking to me about the Cardboard Classic and said, oh, I need to get tickets. I said, it's free. You don't need tickets at all. If you want to ski and snowboard, you got to get lift tickets, and they're at a discount price. But if you want to go to the event, it's free of charge.
Just said, quit yakking.
Yeah, quit you yapping. Quickly, before the Bizarre File, Nick wanted to mention the Undie Run is coming up.
Yeah, you spoke of deadlines, Preston, and I believe today is the last day, but the Cupid's Undie Run is this Saturday. It's at World Cafe Live. This is the third or fourth year that I've participated and hosted. It's a great time for a really good cause. There's this terrible disease called NF, and a lot of money goes right to research, and they're actually making some serious inroads in research, which is a cool thing, but it's... Saturday starts around noon, goes until about 4. The run in and of itself is a pretty loose term. Mostly it's a hang with people in their underwear.
Stroll.
It's stroll if you like. Yeah, bring your drink along with you. But World Cafe Live this Saturday, and all the information is up on PrestonandSteve.com and WMMR.com. But we'd love to have you come and be a part of it. And Team MMR is still accepting members to join. So look into that, and if you can, join us on Saturday.
A lot of good-looking people in underwear.
A lot.
Is what it looks
I'm not exaggerating. Wow. A lot of good-looking people in underwear.
Angela does it, right?
Angela's doing it again this year. Yeah,
so you need to know.
Yeah, there you go.
Join them. All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
I got some great stories for you. By the way, the B-File brought to you by Jack Frost. And Big Boulder Skiers, we're just talking about that. Mark your calendar for the President's Eve Cardboard Classic Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost. And pick up $10 lift tickets at WMMR.com until February 17th. So, a man whose body was found in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park last year died of a meth overdose before being eaten by a bear, an autopsy found.
Oh,
yes. The body of William...
So tripping.
The body of William Lee Hill Jr. was discovered in a wooded area on September 11th, 4 days after he became separated from a friend while the pair were searching for ginseng in the park.
Wow.
After searchers found an adult black bear scavenging the body, the animal stayed in the area and exhibited aggressive behavior. They eventually had to collar it, find it, and they determined they needed to euthanize the bear.
I don't know if I need to eat this guy or smoke him.
According to the report, the gentleman, his last name is Hill. Hang on, let me find his full name. I don't have
it.
No, it was William Lee Hill. Initially had to be identified through his personal belongings and tattoos.
Ooh, man.
Which included a skull and crossbones with the inscription ACDC and a Confederate battle flag bearing the words, "It's a redneck thing." Hill had a history of drug use, and his body was found near syringes and other drug paraphernalia. The autopsy concluded he died of an accidental meth overdose. The man who went with Hill to search for ginseng, Joshua David Morgan, died in October. The two were best friends. Ginseng, by the way, can be harvested and sold for cash. That's why they were out looking for
it. So
it is illegal to remove the plants from national park.
How long do they believe he was dead before the bear started noshing on him?
They didn't indicate.
Okay.
But they did. The cause of death was the overdose.
Ooh, look what I found.
But the bear just found a little, a little treat.
I was foraging for berries, and then this is my lucky day.
Yeah.
This tastes weird. Taste this.
A hypothermal man rescued from Lava Lands Visitor Center on Thursday night may have walked all the way to Benham Falls and back without clothing. That's a distance of more than 10 miles. So he was naked. Temperatures at the time were in the low 20s.
Holy hell. Wow.
The 27-year-old man, Adam Gilliam, was disoriented and naked when he approached another motorist and asked him for help jump-starting his vehicle.
Am I nude?
Gilliam was in his vehicle at the visitor center entrance. When officers arrived, he appeared to be hypothermal, and he was suffering from extensive injuries consistent with walking naked through brush and trees.
When you first said hypothermal, I'm thinking, what city is that?
Gilliam was taken to the hospital, where he told deputies that he had walked from the visitor center to Benham Falls and back without clothing. Police believe that drugs may have played a role in his behavior.
Not to derail this, did you see the footage of the guy swimming under the ice, the deep diver who swam? They opened up a hole in two holes in on a lake, and he swam from one hole to the other, looking up at a yellow rope.
No.
Yeah, it's very cool footage, but it's scary as hell.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
A 24-year-old Fort Worth man died last month after his vape pen exploded in his face.
I saw this story.
William Brown was at a vaporizer store when it happened. His grandmother said that he had just purchased the device and was using it for the first time in her car. He died 2 days after crawling from the car to the trunk area where he collapsed on the pavement. She said that she believes that he was attempting to get help. Somebody who saw William called an ambulance. The medical examiner ruled that William Brown's cause of death as penetrating trauma from an exploding vaporizer pen. Basically, the shrapnel went into his face, went into his head.
So I wonder, because you've heard occasionally this happening, and is it the battery within the vape pen?
I guess so. His left carotid artery was severed.
Oh my God!
And just killed him right there.
There was video of the grandmother crying.
Yeah,
you know,
it's terrible.
It's terrible.
Mm-hmm. What to do and what do you do when you spy folks engaging in intimate activities in a hot tub? Well, you grab your gun and you start shooting. That's what Robert Hakins did. He's accused of it, 64 years old. A woman told deputies after 11 p.m. that she, Hakins, and a friend were in a hot tub on a back patio.
This is good, isn't it?
She said Hakins went inside to go to sleep while she and the friend stayed in the hot tub. The woman said she and the friend got romantic in the hot tub and that Hakins saw them. She said Hakins started yelling. He went into the home as her friend grabbed his stuff. She said Hakins came out with a gun and started firing shots into the patio screen.
Get out of my house and stop having sex in my hot tub.
She said that Hakins hit her as well. Meanwhile, Hakins told deputies he saw the two amidst a sex act and grew enraged. He said he got his gun to scare them, firing shots toward the south part of the property. He denied striking the woman. The friend told investigators he was being intimate in the hot tub with a woman when Hakins threatened them. He said he ran from the home and saw Hakins come out with a gun, and he heard several pops as he ran.
Was it Hakins' hot tub?
It must have been, yeah.
All right, so he was upset they were gumming it up?
Either that or maybe he
I was jealous.
To, yeah, I think that's what
I
it
like that guy.
Or maybe that was it. I don't know. Deputies found two cartridge casings and two holes in the screen. Hakens was arrested on charge of domestic battery and aggravated assault.
Have you ever done the nasty in the hot tub?
No.
I've never wanted to. I don't like shower. I've never liked shower sex or anything.
Yeah, water is not. I think it does the opposite of
lubricant. It removes lubricant. Yeah, yes. So
not a good idea, I think, anyway. Nick?
No.
You look like you want to say something.
I was in a hot tub.
In a refrigerator.
No. I was in a hot tub, and other people started doing that.
God. Oh, that's not right.
And it was then time to get out of the hot tub.
Yes. Well, because now it's suddenly an Exxon Valdez thing, and you're in the slick.
Yeah.
Exactly. Two people are missing after apparently driving a 15,000-pound snowcat on the ice atop of Island Lake early Sunday morning. So these people are missing. Wonder what happened there, right? Sheriff's deputies.
Hey, they probably fell through the ice.
Were called to the Grand Mesa Lodge Sunday after the owner, Michael Wenner, called to report an overdue party of four people who had booked a room the previous evening. Wenner told deputies that the man who had booked the room, Ryan Wells, had brought a privately owned snowcat to the lodge and asked about taking it out on the ice. Wenner reportedly advised Wells that this was not a good idea to the weight of the snowcat. They haven't found anybody or anything.
And no
yet.
Holes. No
well,
holes?
Well, I don't know. That I'm not really sure. So the story is kind of sketchy. So
You ever watch that show, Ice Road Truckers?
I have seen parts of it. I've never watched like, the whole episode.
That.
Yeah, no right? kidding. All right, we have to wrap up now?
Yeah.
All right. And
that's
there
a good story, though.
There you go. That is what I have. I have other great stories, so... that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. We're going to take a break. Our guests, are they here yet?
They're on their way.
They're on their way. Okay, so we have two UFC fighters who are going to be fighting each other coming up in March, March 30th at the Wells Fargo Center. So you have Justin Gaethje.
Yes.
And Edson Barboza. And it's pretty wild that you're going to have two competitors sitting down for an interview that's not a, you know, like the press conference for the pre-fight press conference. So. It should be pretty interesting, but these guys are legit. They're lightweights, and they're going to be going head to head at UFC Fight Night Saturday, March 30th.
Excellent.
Tickets on sale Friday, by the way. So we'll take a break. And we'll come back with those guys. Oh, and also Dane Cook's going to be on the program today too. Am I giving one of these away?
Yeah, why not?
All right, I have a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah at the Met, and it'll be May 3rd. It's a 10 p.m. show. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via ticket themetphilly.com. A few tickets remain for the first two shows. Third show added by popular demand. So the 10 p.m. show, May 3rd. Caller 18, they're yours. 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call. We'll be back in a moment.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
If you're not into MMA, do me a favor. The next two names I'm going to tell you, go and search highlights of their knockouts.
Yeah.
Because it's going to blow you away.
We were just watching.
We were watching them here in our studio, and every 7 or 8 seconds, you hear, "Ooh,
wow,
oh, whoa, how do they do that?" and stuff like that. It's amazing. And they're going to be our two guests are going to be facing off against each other in the octagon Saturday, March 30th at the Wells Fargo Center. Please welcome Justin Gaethje and Edson Barboza.
Yay!
Program, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, sir.
Thanks for having us. Our pleasure. We're happy to have you. You know, it's odd because, and I'm sure you've been getting this as you've going around and doing a press tour for this event, because us amongst ourselves have been like, okay, so these guys are fighting each other and they're both going to be sitting next to each other in the studio, and you never know what you're going to get, you know, with competitors. But it seems like you guys, you know, it seems like you have mutual respect. This is a fight. It's your job, and it's all good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. It's our job. I fight for money.
And
you guys ain't going to, I'm guessing you're not going to pay me to fight him.
to hug it out.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
I was actually talking to the UFC employees on the way over here. I was like, how do you know? Like, because I know me and my last opponent, they never would have let this happen. I was like, how'd you know that you could do this? Like, well, we know both of you, so.
Okay.
It's just a mutual respect, I'm sure, and also the love of the sport. We've had a number of UFC fighters in here, and I don't think we've ever heard, you know, there's been some flare-ups and things over the years, obviously, but for the most part, there seems to be a great deal of respect for the sport itself and for the combatants, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Especially, you know, I come from the martial arts.
Yeah.
That's my coach teach me my whole life.
Yeah.
Respect.
I wonder if either of you guys, are you familiar with Frank Grillo, the actor? He does a series on Netflix about, it's about fighting. It's about the world of fighters. Have either of you seen any of those?
No, what is it called? I would like to look it up.
Fight World, right?
It might be Fight World, yeah. So he goes
down to Brazil.
He goes some different country,
right?
And you see
how everyone basically he's making the point that all around the world everyone's joined together. The people who do this, who do what you do for a living, have a camaraderie that transcends everything. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely unique in what we do. For one, March 30th, I can guarantee you that he will be trying to hurt me, and I will be trying to hurt him, and win.
right.
You know, we have to win to advance our careers, and you know, me and him are in each other's way right now. But until that day, again, you know, like he said, we were raised with respect. I wrestled since I was 4. He's probably done Muay Thai since he was 4. And, you know, you don't advance in these sports by being disrespectful to your opponents, to your coaches. You go in there, you shut up, you don't question authority.
Sure.
And you work.
Now, the UFC, there are a lot of people that train in martial arts, and UFC is the elite level. At what point, I want to ask each of you this question. Edson, when did you realize that, you know what, I'm kind of better than everybody else at this? When did you realize that you really had a talent? Were you a kid and you started to see that you were, you know, above talent level than everybody else?
Sure, when I very, very young.
Very, very young, yeah.
I started training with 8 years old.
Eight years old?
Yeah. My first fight.
You took right to it?
Yes. I was no shin pads, no headgear.
How old was your opponent?
51.
And you say, wow, yeah, I'm good on this.
Okay, all right. So you felt confident from the beginning.
I went right on the beginning.
Okay. I'm curious. Sure.
And I want to ask you the same question as well.
Yeah, I grew up wrestling. I started at 4, and then I wrestled through college. And I'd never been in a street fight. I didn't know if I could fight.
Yeah.
So I took 7 amateur fights, and I won those. And
Mixed martial arts.
Really? And then when I graduated or was done wrestling in college, I was like, oh, you know, I want to try pro. And I won 17 in a row, and then I was fighting Eddie Alvarez on pay-per-views, and then now I'm fighting Edson Barboza. So
that's wild, because your stand-up game just must be natural, and you had no idea, because we were watching, you know, some scenes of you guys fighting, and I'm watching your stand-up game, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you can box, you can kick, you can do the whole thing.
I mean, that's athletic ability. I grew up playing every sport. I played football, played baseball, and, you know, throwing a baseball or a football is the same as throwing a punch, you know, the correct mechanics and all that. So, yeah, just transferring the weight from your hips and,
it's just that easy.
It's not that, you know, thank God I was blessed with that. With
the genetics, the ability.
And,
and
now there's this avenue to make a living.
It's wild when you think about years ago with the UFC and the perception and blah, blah, blah. And now, you know, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a more exciting, you know, event or events. I mean, you have these different styles coming together. To me, it's the closest to, like, cinematic fights you'll see in the real world. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it's the drama that a lot of movies have to create for, like, a boxing match happens naturally in a UFC match.
Yeah, and even on top of that, there's specific circumstances where it's even more intriguing, and I think it's something like this, where you go look at my highlight film, you go look at Edson's highlight film, and you know, if you're in that arena, there's going to be a different kind of energy.
If I'm in that arena, I'm running. Yeah.
No, hey, you will get your adrenaline shot, I can guarantee. That's what you come for.
No, it's absolutely the case. I wanted to ask you, Edson, so being from Brazil, was Brazilian jiu-jitsu ever part of your training regimen or no?
When I started training Muay Thai, that's my background. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, I just started training jiu-jitsu right here in the United States.
Really?
So you moved
when you leave Brazil and come jiu-jitsu here. That's funny.
That's funny. Yeah. Because, like I said, my background's Muay Thai. My dream is fight Muay Thai forever. But in Brazil and right here in the United States, it's hard to live, to fight Muay Thai.
Right.
And I started doing jiu-jitsu and I started fighting MMA.
Man, the Muay Thai is your thing. Your kicks are unbelievable. They're incredibly fast. They're extremely hard. and watching some of the highlights, you taking knocking out guys with crescent kicks, which is pretty wild. Because I mean, when you're in the moment, do you have a finishing move in mind, or does it come to you at the last second? Because I've seen you, I've watched you throw these kicks, and I'm like, man, I wonder if he'd been thinking about throwing that kick for a while, and then he just saw the opportunity to do it.
It's not really a thing.
No kick.
I'm natural, you know. Yeah. It's good. You train a lot.
Yeah.
You train those kicks all the time.
And so it's just a reflex.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that the same with you, Justin?
Yeah, if you want to have a thought process and you want to acknowledge it, that takes time away from your reactions. And in there, you have to be so focused and so you can't watch it.
Yeah.
That's why after I can't wait to watch it after it's over, because if you watch it, you're getting hit.
Have both of you ever finished a fight and just immediately go watch it because you want to see what happened?
Yeah.
Because if you're responding that primally, you know, you're not fully aware.
You can't retain it
is
the problem. Like, you're there, you get to experience every, but the ability to retain what you just went through is, it's in spots and pieces. Lights, noises,
that's
smells.
Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Car girls.
Nah, you can't focus on that. That's for after the fight.
Justin, you mentioned that you've never been in a street fight, and I was watching something yesterday where a street fight broke out at the New England Patriots Super Bowl parade, and these idiots were beating up on one another, and I knew you guys were coming in today with incredible technique, and everything is super focused, and these guys were throwing haymakers and looked like the biggest bunch of morons I'd ever seen. When you see something like that, do you just laugh? Do you get angry at it?
I laugh at how tired they get.
Yeah.
No one takes in the cardio aspect. Like, you can throw punches and kicks, like, but for how long? You know, 10 seconds, 30 seconds? We're doing it for five minute rounds. So,
yeah.
You know, that's what separates the men from the boys.
I did some training, and we would do, flat out punching as hard and as fast as you can for as long as you can. It is insane how winded you get, how quickly you do. And then when you see elite fighters, whatever it may be, whatever discipline it may be, whether it be boxing, MMA, anything, it's a whole other animal. It just they've pushed themselves so hard that the levels that they get to, it's easy to watch and go, yeah, so on. But try doing it yourself, because it's crazy the level of athleticism you guys attain.
So you have the women fighting, I cannot pronounce her name for the life of me,
Carolina Kolkiewicz.
Okay, that's great. And then you also have Watterson is her name, the other combatant. Anyway, do you enjoy watching, I don't know if it's the same as like men's tennis versus women's tennis or you know, because I know that they enjoy watching each other. Do you enjoy that as well, or is that a... you know, where do you consider that? Does that fall? Is it completely equal to you? Is it a different style? Because Preston and I will play a lot of video games, and I think we agree we like to play as the women a lot of times because they have the cooler moves. Do you enjoy that that aspect of it?
Definitely enjoy
watching the female fight.
For sure, for sure. Especially in UFC, have a lot of really good girls.
Yeah, amazing.
The girls. It's hard to say that it's fight like a man, but it's fight like a girl. So girls do very well. And sometimes if you watch men fight, it's a lot more technical. And girls, it's a real fight.
It's a real fight.
Yeah.
You feel that?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, it's more fun to watch the girls fight.
It's funny because we've talked about this. Sure. You'll see, like, and sometimes the footage will come of like a
I feel like a girl's every fight, like a purse or something.
Yes, yes.
Girls, you know,
we talk about that all the time. You never want to get in the middle of a girl fight.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Hey, when it comes to training for a specific opponent, how much of your time is spent analyzing their style and their techniques and maybe their tells, or do you mainly just work on being yourself fighting?
Yeah, I think the latter is key. You know, if you can't be your best self, you definitely can't be his best self. But I think I'm sure we're all different, but I leave it up to my coach to kind of develop a game plan and implement it into our workout sessions. I don't ever go watch specific. I've been watching him for a long time. You know, I'm a huge fan of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty new to the UFC. I've been here for about a year and a half.
That's just crazy. A year and a half.
Yeah.
and you're doing this well. That's wild.
Justin, yeah. What's the split in your lip right there? Was that from a sparring session?
That was from wrestling about 9 years ago.
Really?
That and my nose. Wow. Yeah, my nose doesn't really work.
I can hear. Yeah. You sound a little stuffy, but that's
now
just
that's
you natural,
natural,
right?
Yep.
That's natural.
Yep.
Well, how about like when you're fighting because you got to breathe through your nose a lot? Is it?
No. Nope.
No.
I mean, it definitely is not. I mean, I'm sure it has its discipline. You know, my mouth's open more than it needs to be, and when you get hit with the open mouth, you know, your jaw is more susceptible to getting rocked. And you know, clenching your jaw is one of the keys to fighting, but it's something that I have never been able to.
You can't have surgery to fix it.
I had surgery.
This is post-surgery,
Kathy. I waited 6 months to do it because I was in the middle of a season.
Yeah.
And I have super dense bones, which helps me in fighting.
Yeah.
And so they said they couldn't drill through. My right side is completely closed. And I don't know if it was just a bad doctor, but he said he couldn't fix it. Well, and my lip, I'm sure I could have surgery on my lip. But every winter it cracks like this. I live in Colorado. It's so dry, so much drier than here. Just waking up this morning, I was like, man, you know, I didn't have a crazy or anything.
You guys both have the telltale ears as well. I've always said, if you encounter someone before you raise your fist, take a look at their ears real quick.
Right.
If you see puffy, you know, cauliflower ears, back off. Probably a good idea. Or if their hands are all scarred as well, that's another one too. But you can tell that you've been in the ground game for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah. 4 years old till through college, till 21, 22.
4 years old.
Yeah.
Were you a champion as a kid?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. I had a twin brother. I have a twin brother. So I always had a wrestling partner. And yeah, I'm from a super small town. We would travel 2-3 hours every weekend. Since I was four, we'd go to national tournaments, we'd go to Vegas, Reno.
Where are you from?
Denver. I'm from Arizona.
Okay.
Safford, Arizona. It's a really small town.
And what does your brother do?
He works in the copper mine, so it's one of the second biggest provider of copper in the world. Huh. Second biggest open pit copper mine in the world.
There was one of my favorite visits when I was out in Arizona. It was a town called Bisbee, which is a big copper town.
Yeah, that's where my whole family, both my mom's and dad's side, came from there.
Really?
When that closed to a bigger mine, it's in Morenci, Arizona now.
It's a wild place, Preston. It's almost like carved out of the cliffside.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's a cool town. Edson, what's your family situation? Are you only child or siblings?
No, still in Brazil.
Yeah.
I come from the poor family, you know, in Rio de Janeiro. He always give me all support I really need, you know. And the most important, give me love.
Yeah.
And, I have opportunity to bring my family this year and the year. Yeah, it's so special moment for me.
That's cool. So growing up in a poor environment, you're starting to really get some success on your own. Are you helping out the family? Is everybody benefiting from your success?
Yes, of course.
That's cool.
I help my whole family. One of my dreams, if I have a video when I think 9, 10 years old, the guy asked me and say, hey, I want to be a fighter and I want to buy a house for my family.
That's awesome.
God, the first one I have for UFC, I buy a house for my family. That's so special.
That's great.
For me.
All right, so my sister-in-law is from Brazil, and so when her family comes up to visit up here, they end up buying a ton of stuff up here because it's less expensive. So I'm talking like iPhones and you know, like all the electronics and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. I had no idea. But like, they had a huge shopping list when they came up here.
And did you say they come up here to learn Brazilian jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
Because in Brazil, the tax there, it's so expensive.
Of course.
Have no idea.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Everything is so expensive in Brazil.
With this fight against you guys, somebody had texted in, and I'm not sure of the legitimacy of this, but after this fight, does somebody get a title shot or potentially a title shot after this? Do you know?
You never know.
Yeah, never know.
A lot of it depends on how you win.
Yeah.
We got number
an impressive
6.
Impressive win by him or impressive win by me will do better than a boring fight.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's as much that, is it not? I mean, obviously, there's an actual laid out plan and progression, but you're also building your reputation and your celebrity in the sport.
100%.
Yeah.
Hey, so who else is on the undercard in this? Because it's the first time in a while that UFC's come to Philly.
They've only announced that Colby Covington versus Watterson fight. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been any other announcements, so I'm expecting a lot of fights to get announced very soon.
And then how many rounds are you guys fighting?
We're the main event.
Five. Okay.
Five?
Five. Okay. Five.
That's just torturous. This is torturous.
Ridiculous is what it is.
Yeah.
But I'm going boxing later today, Steve, and with my trainer.
Yeah.
And I specifically texted him, try not to make me throw up today. And I'm going to do like two rounds. You know? And it's just,
it'll kill you.
It is.
I did years ago. I loved boxing and trained and did it for years. I would need to sleep in an iron lung were I to try it. And Preston's right. It's just, and then to people don't. And also, if you're in close proximity, if you go down and you see it in person, like nothing you can imagine.
Yeah. No, and again, hey, Philly is lucky right now. I know the UFC hasn't been here in a very long time, but to have a fight like me and Edson on the card as the headliner, you know, again, it's not for a belt, but, you know, it's for a lot more than that. I would say two of the most violent guys in the lightweight division. Sure.
Two of the most violent guys sitting right next to each other.
We're watching the highlight reels, Preston. We would have to agree with that. So.
It's a testament to what great shape they're in to not only be able to throw these shots at each other, but to be able to withstand them is amazing.
I totally forgot that you guys were fighting each other.
Yeah. But that says a lot about the sport. I think that's the dynamic that draws people to it.
There's so many different circumstances. There's a lot of other people that I could be fighting that this would not be occurring.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this: this is your career, this is your profession, and obviously you're going to focus on the skills that you need to win. But if you were to dabble in another martial art, is there anything out there that seems kind of interesting? And I'd like to try elements of that. Not for MMA, but just for your own knowledge. You know, is there anything that interests you?
Yes. I'm from Brazil. I never tried capoeira.
Oh, that's so...
I don't know what that is.
It's the dance fighting, right?
Yes, it looks like a dance and martial arts. Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
MMA, I will start...
You never see that in MMA, right?
Yeah, a couple guys.
Do you? Yeah. It seems very, very, very big movements.
Yeah.
It would be like in the last 10 seconds.
Yeah.
They're not going to go out there and fight that whole round, but they will throw it in there like last.
Will they?
Yeah. And in fact, Justin, have you done like a front flip, throwing a kick at somebody before?
Yep.
So that's kind of in that vein, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not capoeira, but it's that's just... Showing off a lot of guts. I'm trying to knock him out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to bring my right heel through and smoke him on the chin.
Oh man, if you're
it's in the last 10 seconds, so you hear a clacker.
Yep. Yeah.
Naturally, you know, you become accustomed to how long 10 seconds is.
Right.
You don't have to sit there and like 10, 9,
right,
8. Yeah. You know, at second 8, I know it's been, you know, 7 or 8 tenths of these 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And so if I explode now and end up on the bottom, then it's fine. Like right there, you know, the round ended right when I landed the kick, so couldn't jump on top of me.
It's a half-court shot is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all that is. The buzzer's about to go. You might as well just get rid of it.
You could hold the ball or shoot it.
You could win a tournament on a crane kick too, though, right? Like if you put your...
I saw that happen.
Sweep the legs. Oh, there's a documentary that came out. It was like 84, I think.
Dude, I chipped my buddy's tooth doing a crane kick. Sorry, Matt. But like, we had just seen Karate Kid and we were doing King of the Hill, and I crane kicked him right in the... I didn't mean to actually kick him in the face. It was supposed to, you know, kick the air. Elevation and I kicked him right in the mouth.
That's why it's so amazing. I remember we had a weight. My father boxed in college, and we had the weight bag at home, and I had my brother hold it. My brother's face is off to the left of it. I missed the bag entirely. He punched him right in the face. So it's a wonder you guys, you know, that's what dissuades you from pursuing the sport further. But that you guys have come this long, look as good as you do, you know, save for the telltale deal, and be at this point, it's got to be something to celebrate. So everything's going down March 30th, correct?
Yeah, March 30th. Girl. Tickets go on sale February 8th.
Yeah, Friday.
Don't miss it.
You can go to WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. That's cool. Well, listen, thank you guys for coming by here today.
Thanks.
Good luck, both of you.
Both of you.
Yeah. You know, in the fight. And hopefully it'll just be a good fight for us as the fans.
You guys get a chance. Don't miss going down there and seeing it live.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Oh, there you go. Nice. Justin Gaethje and Edson Barboza. Yeah. Thank you guys for being here. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day spa package from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day. Steven Singer is re-releasing exclusive 24-karat gold dip rose colors just for you. If you missed out on a color, here's your chance to add it to her collection. Check out all the available colors at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Secret text for today and tickets to the That's Amore Valentine's Day event at Adventure Aquarium. Behind the scenes, look at the Ocean Realm dinner, dessert, complimentary adult beverages. Two of those, not like open bar all night. I don't think that, but anyhow. Text word secret to 39333 and you might win. We'll see a little bit later on. I thought this was pretty interesting. I saw this story yesterday. I noticed this story yesterday.
Are you kidding? Really?
But I did.
I had no forewarning.
Don't worry about it.
It's time for the noticer. He notices things so quickly, the noticer announcer can't even keep up.
But I thought this is pretty cool. Anybody read Catcher in the Rye?
Oh, yeah. A number of times. Yeah,
I read it. I didn't see what the big deal was. But
listen, quite honestly, it stinks.
Nonetheless, it's a classic.
It is. And for the time it came out, it really was. You had not heard a voice like that in literature.
The family of J.D. Salinger plans to publish a wealth of secret works that he created over the last half century of his life, is according to his son, who reported this in The Guardian. And he said this was somebody who was writing for 50 years without publishing. So that is a lot of material. This is Matt Salinger saying.
It was always this great author, would have been, what could have been.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the focus of a lot of this heretofore unknown literature involves robotic gorillas.
Wow.
Is that right?
That's a series? Or
it's a series.
Okay.
Man, I'm interested now.
Right. That is rife with intriguing story.
Absolutely.
Matt Salinger told the
paper. Robotic Gorilla in the Rye is the first in the series.
Robotic gorilla.
What is that over there in the rye?
In the rye.
Glistening there with the big forearms.
That looks out of place.
That's a gorilla with rye. That gorilla has an antenna on its head.
You know? Normally, you don't see just regular lowland or highland gorillas in the rye in the first place. And the fact that this one is made of some sort of metallic object.
Let me reel it back a little more. Yeah. Since when do we have rye?
Yeah.
So much to unpack.
I had no idea that there were rye fields around here.
Much less robotic gorillas loitering.
So he said that this is Matt Salinger, he said that he and Salinger's widow, Colleen O'Neill, are going as fast as we can to get it ready for publication.
I wonder if this is going to be a case precedent as happened with Harper Lee.
Yeah, I don't know. He warned that it could take years, hopefully less than a decade, though, to publish everything that the reclusive author left behind after his death in 2010.
Here it is, Preston, from the book. There's the cover of the book right there.
Oh, yeah. It's
a robotic gorilla.
Yeah. But Matt Salinger vowed all of what he wrote will at some point be shared, which is really interesting. He said that his dad, J.D. Salinger, said he wanted me to pull it together.
Oh.
And because of the scope of the job, he knew that it would take a long time. Because once he got his fame, he cut off all. I mean, he became very reclusive. Yeah.
Very much so. You always wonder in these cases if this is something that the artist or the author or whatever would have wanted to have happen. In this case, you're saying this was his wish.
Yeah, that's what according to Matt, his son.
Catcher in the Rye was one of the books that you would not get through school without having read at some point. I don't know if that's the case anymore.
The author teemed with ideas and thoughts, said his son. He'd be driving the car and pull over to write something and laugh, and then he had a notebook next to every chair in his isolated New Hampshire home, Matt said. The last of Salinger's modest body of published work was a short story called Hapworth, 1619-1924.
That's stupid.
And that appeared in The New Yorker in 1965 when Salinger was 46. That's the last
decades
bit.
Ago.
Yeah. Wow.
Decades ago. I mean, you know, listen, so I agree with you. There was such a buildup to Catcher in the Rye. Some books did impress me and blow me away. The Great Gatsby remains one of my favorite books of all time. So right. I, I,
This one, the Holden Caulfield character, I didn't connect with.
Me either.
But for many disenfranchised people, he became sort of an icon, that character.
You know why I picked it up? Those old serial killers were reading it.
Yes.
Or, these odd people were caught with copies of Catcher in the Rye. And I'm like, all right, well, I need to see what they may have gotten from this.
Well,
what's that?
Lennon's killer.
Yeah, it was
just to see what it's all about.
Mark David Chapman. Yeah. And so I read it and I was like, that's it. But maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't talk to me.
Yeah. You know what I just read.
For some reason or another, maybe I just wasn't in a high enough track in high school, but this book had escaped me all the way up until within the last decade. I decided to pick it up just because it was a classic. And I made it almost all the way through, and then I was like, you know what? I don't care how this book ends. I don't care enough about this character and this story. I probably left, I don't even know, like 70 pages, you know? Like,
yeah,
not interesting enough.
Listen, it doesn't always click. You're not compelled, simply because a book is considered a classic, you're not compelled to like it. You know, it's all subjective.
Nick, do me a favor. Pull up a picture of him in Revenge of the Nerds, please.
Yeah, please.
J.D. Salinger?
No. Matt Salinger.
Really?
His son.
He's in Revenge of the Nerds?
He's an actor. He played Burke in Revenge of the Nerds. And I'm trying. That's one of the football players, I believe. Yes! Oh my God!
Yeah.
So when they all dress like women for the homecoming carnival.
Oh my God!
He's the guy in the big blonde wig with lipstick and a beauty mark.
It's a good-looking guy.
That is J.D. Salinger's progeny.
What?
And he played Captain America in the 1990 version of the movie.
Do you know that Booger is the son of F. Scott Fitzgerald?
Well, that's really odd.
That is probably the most literary cast or relevant cast. J.D. Salinger's son is in Revenge of the Nerds. And not only that, he's not just some background guy. He's fairly up front.
He's one of the top characters. Wow, okay.
God.
Well, Matt didn't reveal details about the unpublished fiction, but The Guardian noted that it appears likely there will be more about the Quirker Brainiac Glass family of the Upper West Side of Manhattan, who peopled many of Salinger's published stories.
I'm still reeling from the Revenge of the Nerds news.
I know, I am too. Matt Salinger predicted the works will be tremendously well-received by devoted readers. He said they will be affected in the way every reader hopes to be affected when they open a book. He said, not changed necessarily, but something rubs off that can lead to change. When my father said that everything he has to say is in his fiction, believe it, it's there.
I wonder what kind of dad he was then.
That's a good question.
Was he the kind of dad who would let his son star in Revenge of the Nerds?
I guess he must have been. Well, yeah, because he didn't die till 2010. So Matt probably went to him to ask of his thoughts of him being in Revenge of the
Nerds. Mr. Salinger, you're a legend. And this is my son. Perhaps you've seen Revenge of the Nerds.
I mean, he's still acting.
Right? Here's Harper Lee. I cannot tell you what To Kill a Mockingbird meant to me. And perhaps you've met my daughter. She played Vicky on Small Wonder. That's you just can't exceed your parents' achievements.
I've been kicking around picking up another classic and going through it. The one I had thought about was A Brave New World. And I've read it before. And I liked it. And it's a short. It's an easy, quick read. But I'm just fascinated by some of those stories.
You ever read 1984?
I love 1984.
Animal Farm?
Yeah, those are all great.
George Orwell's one of my favorites.
I'm reading On the Road right now by Jack Kerouac, and I was talking to you about it yesterday, Preston. It's the language in it is certainly of a time. And
Early beatnik.
It's beatnik stuff. It's counterculture stuff. But it is a pretty fascinating look at America in the 40s and 50s and I guess early 60s as well, and what Kerouac did, essentially, going across the country and sort of being a vagabond.
Do you know who Jack Kerouac's son is? Ted McGinley.
That's not true.
It's just incredible.
I've discovered that I have a terrible ability to retain anything that I read. So we're currently watching The Passage on Fox.
I love it.
And I read the book because Preston told me it was awesome.
Uh-huh.
And, I guess the big things I remember, but all the subtleties in the story, I'm like, I don't remember it. So I'm at a point now where, you know, like, I don't want to go to museums because I'm not going to remember anything that I see in it. You know what I mean? Like,
you can't bring your toys.
Well, I can buy toys there usually. I mean, I bought at the Louvre. I bought a Mona Lisa Rubik's Cube. So why bring a toy when you can buy one at the museum?
You don't bring sand to the beach.
No, because it's a little bit disappointing for me because I just, you know, I just don't. Maybe I got hit in the head one too many times as a kid. I don't have the ability to retain
that information. I think you have
to
pay. You can reread. You can, honestly.
I don't want to reread. I already read it.
I don't want
to. Well, you know what you might try to bring a different flavor to it is audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
I've turned on to that because I have found myself more and more with less time to read because life gets in the way of other things that I need to do. But I'm in the car for 30 minutes each way to work. I know it's a fairly short commute for a lot of, some people have hours in there. And I've decided to start to listen to audiobooks that way. And if you get a good narrator, a reader who will actually use some character in their depiction of it, it's kind of like a movie.
One of my favorites was Tony Danza's
Harry Potter.
It's just incredible. I'll tell you this. Yeah. I was reticent to do the Audible books, and now I do it. I do them for more like for political books or things of that nature, history or so on and so forth, less novels. I still prefer to read a novel and get caught up in the story that way. But I don't have I'm reading so much just general news.
Yeah.
That I was like, oh my God, you know, there's only so much. It's like you talk about this plethora of TV that it's available. You only have so much time in your average day to get to it all.
Yeah, I did the audiobook of Ready Player One, Preston, after I had read it.
Was that written by Will Wheaton?
No, it
was read by Will Wheaton. And
did you say read?
I don't know. No, he said read.
Was it written? Redden?
He said written. It was read by Will Wheaton.
I mean, read.
Written by Ernest Cline.
Written by Ernest Cline. And again, like I had read the book and I was listening to the audiobook. I'm like, okay, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I've forgotten. And I'm currently, after that, I was like, you know what? I always wanted to read the People's History of the United States. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be able to read this. It's just beyond my. So I bought the audiobook. It's narrated by Matt Damon.
Probably of course it is. He was a family friend.
Yeah.
And probably like $30 or something like that.
Yeah. And I'm actually having a hard time following that as it's being read. It's that one's a tough one to listen to.
Okay.
That book will blow your socks off.
Yeah.
Blow your
hair back.
yeah. I think, Casey, with museums, you got to pace yourself. And if you go to a place like the Louvre, it's just massive. You know, it was a castle, for crying out loud. So you can only do an hour or two before one masterpiece starts blending in with the next.
Oh, they all blended in. I mean, as I walked, I just wanted to go see the Mona Lisa. That's all I wanted to see. And
where are your Rubik's Cubes?
And I was glad. Hey, I also got a magnet, a Mona Lisa magnet. But I was happy just walking and trying to find the Mona Lisa, looking at that, and then booking.
I wonder if Da Vinci could have imagined.
Yeah. But I would have, you know.
Dear Jesus, God in heaven, please let this work before my eyes have become a refrigerator magnet.
Likely, yeah. Michelangelo, as you see, you know, Sistine Chapel.
So you say Michelangelo, I saw a piece done by him as I was walking to the
process. It becomes a jigsaw puzzle.
I couldn't tell you anything about the piece that I saw that he, you know, it was something biblical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm like, okay, well, I saw a Michelangelo work.
There should be somebody reaching back, huh?
I wish I would have stopped and looked at the Venus de Milo, though. That was the one. I'm like, I probably would have remembered that.
Your analogy is accurate, though. You have so much, but you know, it's you pick and choose.
Yeah.
The things that you like, and I find let it pass its litmus test.
Yeah.
If you're really into it, you'll follow through, and if not, don't try to force it.
So, what my wife and I like to do, and we'll go to Philadelphia Museum of Art or the Barnes Museum or wherever it may be. And like Nick said, there's only these masterpieces start to bleed together. And there's so much art that it's too much to take in. So the first couple of rooms we'll go in and we'll appreciate the works. And then we start to play a game with each other, which is we don't look at the title of the piece. But we will try to we'll come up with our own name for it.
OK.
And if there's people in it, we'll try to say what they're thinking.
Right.
And if you
as a joke or
as a joke,
okay.
You can either try to really actually nail the name of the piece if you want to and get as close to it as you can, or just come up with the most outrageous thing you can think of. It has made going to the museum so much more fun.
Yeah.
That we'll joke around. It ends up being a lot of fun. It ends up being very funny because you end up doing just jokey stuff about the characters in the artworks.
Sure. And if you're not creative, just go to people who seem to be enjoying the picture and just stand next to them and go, this is stupid.
Yeah. What a waste of time.
This is stupid.
She doesn't even have any arms.
Yeah.
How'd she scratch her ass? I mean, I'm serious.
All right, I noticed something else. Let me
more from the noticer.
Mm-hmm. We did culture.
We got all literature, literary on that bitch.
Yeah, and now we're going to talk about social media. Experts are concerned about a disorder that involves an obsession with selfies, and they call it Snapchat dysmorphia. And a recent article, and this
I
is
read about this.
Yeah, this is people getting used to the filters.
Yeah,
and they're using Snapchat in particular,
and they're disappointed by the way they look normally, and almost refuse to ever have a picture unfiltered.
So much so that it is morphing into wanting to be able to turn to plastic surgery and transform your look.
It's causing like a body dysmorphia.
I mean, Steve, to the extent of like the doggy nose and ears and all that stuff.
Well,
now, people
really
aren't really getting that done, but they like the way they look.
But it smooths out your skin. You know, have that,
makes you sparkle.
It makes you...
Gives you sort of...
almost look animated.
Anime eyes.
Yeah.
They're watching you.
Study authors note that the filters are changing how people think about beauty, and for some it becomes an unrealistic view.
If you look at people pressing to that point on Instagram, they make a big thing, me without makeup.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Everyone is filtered up and everyone looks with the Instagram models and anybody who puts up a picture, they look phenomenal. Everything's, it's, you can see where if someone sees that all the time, mm-hmm. they start to think less and less of themselves.
I was watching a movie that was getting all sorts of crazy rave reviews. It was I'm impressed you love Bo Burnham. Mm-hmm. But it's a movie called Eighth Grade that he wrote.
I haven't seen it yet.
And it's just it follows this eighth grade girl, and the movie opens up. It's all about her on social media doing like YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And the one picture, she starts the whole movie by like getting up early, going, doing her makeup, and all that sort of stuff, brushing her hair perfect, and then laying in bed, and then taking the perfect shot, and then going, oh, I just woke up like this.
Yeah.
But I feel bad. I do. I feel bad for people that are living in that world.
But going back a few decades, you watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, right?
Uh-huh.
You know
yes.
how she will go to bed with her makeup and hair done perfectly and wake up about an hour later when the husband is asleep and do her beauty regimen, wipe all that stuff off.
Right, yeah.
And then she'll get up early and redo it before he wakes up.
That's insane.
So I would imagine that's a part of it. I mean, that would be similar to body dysmorphic disorder, BDD, by the way, is similar to an eating disorder in that the sufferer is preoccupied with specific features of their body. People with BDD let the worry intrude their thoughts, causing anxiety and affecting daily life. And that's when it's a real problem.
Jeez.
But the filters are leading to that because it's so easy to just fix it.
That's why, in one way, I'm glad I look as unpleasant as I do. I'm not distracted by this, you know?
Yeah. But some people are, and that's too bad. So, all right, and then one last thing.
One last thing from the noticer.
That's all we have time
Surprise
for.
Surprise edition.
We'll stay with the social media. Facebook Messenger has now made it possible to unsend messages if you're quick enough. To do so, you want to first update the app on your phone, and then you can just tap on a message in a conversation and select remove. The app will then ask if you want to remove the message from everyone or just for,
For Gus.
For you only. Wait.
Wait, what?
Listen, it's tiny print today, goddammit.
Oh, I hate that.
Things.
You could send it to the other printer on the fifth floor at the other end of the hallway if you really needed it.
I don't even know if that would work. or just for you, choosing the latter option will keep the message visible to other participants and hide it from your view. There is a catch, though. You only have 10 minutes to delete your messages. After that window closes, and you'll also have to insert your foot in your mouth after that. Facebook started working on this new feature back in April when they caught heat for revealing that Mark Zuckerberg's Zuckerberg's old Facebook messages had mysteriously disappeared from recipients' inboxes
yes.
years after he sent them.
Yeah.
The company apologized for only making the feature available to its executives, and now they've fulfilled the promise to bring that to all Messenger users.
Do you guys use this feature?
No.
I don't even know what it is.
What, Messenger?
Yeah.
I receive messages. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. It's like the only way you can send DMs.
I don't use Facebook anymore.
Oh, I did.
When did that happen?
I haven't used it in a couple years now. I was using it on a platform called Hootsuite.
Yeah.
Because you know, of all of them, that Facebook got the most political, the quickest.
Yeah.
And so I had social blocker and all this stuff, but then for some reason the algorithm with Facebook wouldn't work with Hootsuite, and then I was like. So I kind of disconnected from Facebook, and it's been pretty much Twitter and Instagram at this point. Instagram, I think, is the most popular at this point.
Probably. I don't know. It's the one that I prefer to use. Yeah.
I spent a good amount of time on Facebook yesterday because the videos, I watched like one video, and then it bled into another one. And I just had so much fun. There was another site on Facebook that I went to that I couldn't stop watching. I think it's called like Try Not to Cry. It's a page called Try Not to Cry, and there are like all these just inspirational videos.
Oh
man.
Real touching stuff?
Real touching stuff, like, you know, interspecies animal love.
That's so
not
cool.
Like sexual love, but, you know.
Like just heavy petting.
Cats cuddling with dogs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
Guy making I'm a love sucker to a for pig. That.
Do you I'll use the direct message on Instagram from time to time, but you can only use it on the phone, and I find that I get way too addicted to Instagram on my phone, so when I don't have Instagram on my phone, I don't use that feature anymore. So it's just like to me, Steve, we were talking earlier about people spending way too much time on the apps, and the only way that I can find myself getting off the app is to delete it.
Yeah, well, that's what happened. Well, I haven't deleted the Facebook accounts. I just haven't, you know.
Not the accounts.
Yeah.
Just take the app off.
Yeah.
So, by the way, they're going to have it where you can remove messages if you want to. By the way, you see this picture right here?
Yes.
For you guys? These are the, those are the souffle pancakes.
Did you make them?
No, I didn't, but Colleen Kriebel did, and she's going to make these for us.
Well, yeah, that's great. It's funny.
So she made those
right now? She's bringing them over right now?
No, she's not bringing them over right now. But we will have it since we talked about it at this time yesterday. I thought I would mention it. I don't know. I'll text her in this commercial break.
All right.
And we'll find out when they
can't eat that picture.
All right. Anyhow, we need to take a break. We need to come back in just a moment or two because when we return, Dane Cook will... Casey, this happened.
That's my fault, man.
We will have Dane Cook on the show and we will talk to him about his appearance coming up in our area at the Met at the end of March. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join Marissa Magnata Friday from noon till 2 at the Sprint store at 1760 Market Street in Center City. Check out Sprint's phones on super fast and affordable plans at great prices and enter to win a VIP package at MMR's Cardboard Classic, including lift tickets and an overnight stay.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
9:32 on this Wednesday morning, President Steve Show. Still pretty comfy out. We're going up to about 48. Nothing like that. It had to have gotten over 60 degrees yesterday, like 65 degrees.
I was loving it and dreading it at the same time because you knew it was simply a taste.
It was amazing. But we'll be up to 50 again tomorrow, maybe 57 on Friday. We get cold and back to seasonable temperatures after that and into the weekend. So just a heads up on that. Our next guest coming to town. He's playing the new venue, man, the Met, which is a beautiful building.
Perfect room for him.
March 30th. He is no stranger to the city of Philadelphia. Ladies and gentlemen, Dane Cook is on. What's up, Dane?
What's going on, fellas?
How are you, man? No, we got a bit of a delay.
I'm calling. You got me?
Yeah.
Hey, 1-2.
I think we got a phone line issue. We can actually hear ourselves repeated after we speak to you, but we got you now, Dane.
Cool. Yeah, I'm psyched, guys. It's great to be on with you guys today. The tour is going to be kicking off, and there's no better gig than coming back and doing anything on the East Coast, really. It's just, you know, it's all homecoming to me. Those are my formative years in the streets on the streets of Philly and that whole area coming up doing gigs.
We clearly remember, Dane. We actually presented you. You were playing the Spectrum. It was in the round, and it was a wild night. I think it was Thanksgiving weekend, and it was just amazing. And the crowd went just nuclear when you came out. So this area loves you, but you yourself just feel a strong tie here.
Yeah. It's you know what it is. It's that early support that when you're a struggling comedian, and trust me, there's a lot of struggling comedian years, lean years. But anytime I, you know, left Boston to come down and do shows there, I always found that the crowds were some of the fiercest crowds that I ever played. And they were, you know, it was like, listen, if you don't come with your A game, you're about to get hammered. So, you know that I wouldn't be coming back to Philly unless I had a show to give.
Yeah, and you know what? And that whole Boston-Philly connection, there seems to be a kindred spirit between the two cities. So, you know, our hatred for New York essentially is a part of it. But I could see why, you know, it would feel a little bit but like home to you, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. Listen, there's many, many moments that I can point to in my career. This 29 years this year.
Wow.
But that first 10 was a lot of time in Philly. In and around the area, big gigs, small gigs where nobody showed up. But if people did come in that door, I was like, I got to get a great show or else I'm going to get heckled right off the stage here in Philly.
You were part of that first cluster, I guess, that I can think of, Dane, that seemed to have a knack for the early stages of social media. And I was reading a recounting of you. And it made me crack up because it was talking about how effectively you used MySpace. And that was just a little while ago. But it's got to be a mind blower to think about that as being a step in your career.
Well, it is, because as that was developing, as social media was starting to come into fruition and be, you know, in everybody's office, on everybody's computer, you know, as I was a comic who was doing what? Nothing all day.
Yeah.
You know, just waiting for a show every night. And I wanted to fill that time with, how can I get to know comedy fans? How can I try to win them over by posting clips or posting whatever? Just something that might be funny, something that might get you through your day that might be a little rougher. So I fell in love with that format of sharing on social media. It wasn't like it is today. The internet, I kind of laugh about it. I go, there was a good 5-year period when I started on there where the internet was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blast. It was like the wild, wild west, but it was mostly people that wanted to encourage whatever they had discovered on there.
Yep.
So I feel like out of the gate, I was really fortunate with that.
We were just talking about that, and basically using the same description. There's a series on Nat Geo that talks about the early days of like the Netscape, you know, browser and all that stuff. And now you look back nostalgically at the innocence of it. And social media was about that. It's like early hip hop and then angry hip hop, you know, and rap. It was just a much more benign vibe to it, and it worked well for you. I see you. I follow you on Twitter. And, you know, and you said you sort of see it in a different way. Do you, you know, it has a similar impact, but it doesn't seem to be this, you know, the same sort of impact, at least effectiveness, because now there's so many people, there's such a deluge.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's harder to sift through that as well. And not only that, but it's, you know, the internet's it's a harder place to be a new artist, because everybody is ready to haze. Everybody's ready to get in there with their knives out and tell you why you shouldn't be doing what you're doing early in your career. So I'm glad I started when I did. I'm glad I had that breakthrough moment with it.
Yeah.
I still love to utilize it, but it certainly isn't a platform that today I feel is as critical as when I, you know, first was trying to get the word out.
I want to ask you, because you did a lot of, you know, done a lot of movie work. I know that you're still actively, you know, writing and doing stuff like that. It seems to me that stand-up has always been the core for you. How important is your film work? Is, you know, where does that fall in the pecking order?
when I was coming up as a comic, I had a lot of odd jobs, and I was working at a video store, which for all the kids listening, I used to have to leave your house to rent a movie. And you had to return it. And so I worked in one of these, corner video places, and I would watch comedians' movies all day. I would put in, even movies that you probably shouldn't be playing in some Eddie Murphy movie or comedy special. But as I was watching these guys like Robin Williams and seeing roles like, say, A Good Will Hunting, which he did years later, I was watching comedic actors. Michael Keaton was a comedian.
Yes.
Before he was Batman. It's like I saw all these guys that I really admired and was like, hey, I'm going to try to emulate that in my career. Maybe I can develop a comedy routine that isn't so much of a character, even though I can look back and tell you guys I feel like I look like a character. but I was like trying to develop something that might be able to dip my toe into any medium like that.
Right. So I have to ask you, because there's a whole bunch of legends surrounding Dane Cook, one being of the marathon comedy sessions at the Laugh Factory. Mm-hmm. It sort of became like a Guinness Book of World Records title to achieve. Are you now currently the champion in standing, I think 7 hours plus, or has that been usurped?
You know, if anybody was going to do it, it would be the great Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
So if the record still stands, I don't know. I made a vow after that night. I said I'll never do that. That was a one shot only, and it wasn't even something I thought I was going to do that night when I walked into the club. It was completely on a whim, on a lark. So yeah, it's probably been beaten, and it's probably Chappelle.
Okay, yeah, I would imagine if anybody could bring it, but you're saying you went in on a whim and went for 7 hours.
I did, yeah. It was January 1st of 2010. It was the first day of the new year. There was 48 people. Everybody was hungover from New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
48 people came to the show that night, and 42 of them stayed till 6 in the morning when I finally got off stage.
God almighty. That's pretty Herculean.
That is, man. Well, we're only going to ask for like maybe 4 hours at the Met when you come to town in March. By the way, new building, awesome venue. You're going to love it. It's a wonderful spot. So I'm sure people are going to be psyched to go. The tickets do go on sale at livenation.com, or they're on sale. And, yeah, it's the end of March, March 30th, which should be cool, man. We know you got a lot of fans here, so it should be a solid show, Dane. And hopefully you'll get another chance to visit us in studio sometime.
And let me say to you guys, thank you for the support over the years. A lot of up years and down years when you're trying to have a marathon type of career. So
yeah,
that means a lot, and I'm going to come back and see you guys, and then we're going to give you guys a great show.
Appreciate it.
Good man. Dane Cook, good to talk to you, bud. Take care, man. Dane Cook.
Yeah.
See you, man. Yep, that's cool. Dane's always been super-duper nice. He has. He's fallen out of favor with some people.
Some people have issues. He's always been nothing but cool to us, and yeah, one of my favorite times, the drunk day we had, I was intern Julie, and who else do we have?
Me.
It was you.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's one of our early daily rushish type videos of Dane and her side by side, and he's just giving it to her in a funny way. But yeah,
she tried to jump in a couple times, and he would just go, "Shut up." But he was very, very funny. Julie. Oh my God. She was in a bikini one at that time, if you remember.
We love Julie.
From the Sixers dance.
Yeah.
She's hilarious. All right. We had to do the Bizarre File.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Robbins Diamonds and Tax-Free Delaware, with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. So the life of undercover police is not an easy one, as officers have to give up their personal life during their time. They are undercover, and they take on a very new lifestyle. In this case, in this story, is the life of a drug dealer. Undercover police went to Detroit, posed as drug dealers. However, thanks to a mess-up, Another police group thought that they were real drug dealers, and so they raided the house in what turned out to be one of the most embarrassing things ever seen in the department, according to the police chief.
These drug dealers, they have actual police guns and badges.
Officers from the 12th Precinct in Detroit went undercover with the purpose of pretending to be drug dealers so that they could arrest buyers. Two buyers went to the house where the pretended drug dealing police officers were, but they were actually police going undercover to arrest people selling drugs.
Shouldn't they inform each other of this?
They were from the 11th District of Detroit. They began to search the place when they arrived, and they were wearing body cams that captured the whole incident of the officers fighting and punching each other.
Oh, my God.
And it turned into something like you'd see in the Keystone Cops films.
Well, this has happened in like 9 movies where we've been working this bust for a year.
It was in Point Break.
Point Break, yeah.
Now the event has sparked an investigation. This is not the first time that something similar has happened. During the 80s, an incident occurred that saw two police officers actually killed in an incident like
that. That's not good.
No. A paternity test on a baby orangutan has come back with a surprising result. Basel Zoo in northwestern Switzerland said Thursday the test showed 5-month-old Padma was not fathered by the male in her enclosure.
Uh-oh.
Keepers routinely take DNA samples from newborn orangutans because the endangered great apes are part of a breeding program.
You stinking bitch.
They bring in Maury, and he reveals everything for him. And then he's got to confront the father. Researchers compared Padma's DNA to that of Booty, a 14-year-old male living in the same enclosure as the baby's mother, Maja. They found that it didn't match Booty's DNA. Instead, it matched 18-year-old orangutan Vendel.
Vendel!
Vendel lives in the next enclosure.
No known method of contact?
It appears that for Maja and Vendel, the dominant male at the zoo, the dividing fence was no obstacle for some monkey business.
You just back on up to those big openings.
I think that's what she did.
A little stinky on the orangutan hang down.
And then Vendel and Maja got their thing done.
Got their freak on. Uh-huh.
But it's a baby orangutan that's pregnant. That's crazy.
Is it a baby that's pregnant?
It said baby. I heard 5 months old.
A paternity test on a baby orangutan has come back with a surprising result.
No, I think the
5-month-old Padma wasn't fathered by the male.
Okay. Don't make this something sick. This is
dude. I thought that. That's
come on,
just
man.
Sick.
That's just sick.
No,
that's insane.
No.
oh man, what a downer that story would have been.
Oh, I feel better now, guys.
Thank you.
So here's a story out of the UK. See if you can catch all the colloquialisms. A pub boss gave motorists
a bar
an eyeful when he stripped naked at the side of a dual carriageway and started having sex with his car. Michael Jameson climbed out of the window of his BMW 330 after shunting a 4x4 and then appeared to hump his mother's wheel arch.
Had he just heard a particularly erotic orangutan story?
Maybe he had. Footage from an attending cop's body cam played in court also showed him with no clothes underneath the vehicle.
Yeah, I took it right in the boot.
And a prosecution witness said the businessman was sprawled face down across the bonnet. Patrick Geddes, defending, said it was obviously a bizarre set of circumstances.
I'm going to bang you from boot to bonnet.
And that his client was apologetic for his actions. He added, Mr. Jameson is at a loss to explain his behavior. He was under an enormous amount of pressure from work. He seems to have simply lost the plot.
I'd had a spat with my motorbike.
He's appalled and grossly embarrassed. Jameson had been driving from London to Holyhead to catch a ferry to Ireland when the incident happened.
Occasionally I'll get all from mass transit.
Prosecutor Robert Blakemore said motorist David Jones was traveling with his wife, Susan, when Jameson drove up behind and then collided with his car.
Wow.
As both drivers pulled into a lay-by, Jameson...
It's female genitals.
...then began to slowly shunt Mr. Jones's BMW X5, causing $1,600 of damage. Mr. Blakemore said Jameson, who has two previous drunk drive convictions, appeared vacant and was sweating profusely, but blood tests later came back negative.
So we've heard a couple of stories throughout the years of this. I don't get it. I mean, it's probably good we don't get it, but I can't even... any ideas to what that comes from, that erotic connection that where people actually carry out sexual acts with cars?
No, not sure. Not sure about it at all. And then we'll go to this one. An 18-year-old man arrested for attempting to steal a commercial jet to fly to a rap concert pleaded guilty Thursday and received a 5-year term of felony probation. Zamarcus Scott appeared before the judge, and Scott pleaded guilty to attempted theft of property and commercial burglary.
Did Zamarcus have a pilot's license?
No, not at all. In fact, wait till you hear what he has to say about it. So Scott received a 5-year probation. He's got to pay $1,000 to participate in mental health treatment. He is prohibited from Texarkana Regional Airport property while on probation. He intended to take an American Eagle twin-engine jet from Texarkana Regional Airport to see rapper Famous Dex perform in Illinois. Airport security personnel who noticed Scott jump a fence onto the property about 2:30 a.m. immediately contacted local police. When police arrived, Scott was sitting in the pilot seat in the cockpit of the small commercial plane. Two of the three responding officers recognized Scott from earlier encounters.
Okay, so he had a history.
Scott told investigators his lack of training as a pilot didn't concern him, as he believed that operating the aircraft could be simply accomplished by pulling levers and pushing buttons.
Oh, okay.
He's basically right. You just have to know what order to do that in.
At a hearing, the defender asked the court to order an evaluation of Scott's mental state to determine if he is competent to stand trial.
You hear what happened with the actual rapper?
Uh-uh.
He's going to fly him to the concert.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He thought it was funny. And
oh,
so
that's funny.
But doesn't that sort of incite other people to attempt to steal aircraft?
I don't know. They found that he was competent. Scott told investigators he had been thinking about stealing a plane for about a month and had been watching the plane since 10 p.m. that night before throwing his bicycle in a ditch and heading for the jet more than 4 hours later.
He was stalking the plane.
Oh, yeah.
So I can ride a bike. I should be able to fly a plane.
One last story. A trail runner fought off and killed a mountain lion in self-defense in northern Colorado on Monday. The runner was attacked on West Ridge Trail near Fort Collins. Authorities didn't say how the runner managed to kill the mountain lion. They said he did it with his bare hands.
Yes.
They described the mountain lion as a juvenile. They said the lion lunged at the runner, biting his face and wrist, causing serious but non-life-threatening injuries. Wildlife officers found the mountain lion... found the mountain lion's body within a few feet of some of the man's possessions. The runner did everything he could to save his life, an expert said.
I've been on this trail.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, Horsetooth Canyon. It's right near Fort Collins.
In the event of a lion attack, you need to do anything in your power to fight back, just as this gentleman did. Mountain lion attacks on people are rare, with fewer than 20 people having been killed by one in North America in more than 100 years.
They say he suffocated him somehow, choked him out.
Choked him out, yes.
I don't know how. I was hypothesizing that maybe, because this is what I would do, shove my fist down their throat.
Right.
In order to...
Now, don't close your mouth.
Right.
Well, I mean, they can try and close their mouth, yeah. But like they're also going to be...
Gagging
for air.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. They described it as a juvenile, so maybe it was small enough.
Yeah. He was 80 pounds.
Okay, that's a big...
Yeah, it's a big one, but...
It's a decent size.
Yeah.
My luck, I'd pick the one cougar that's good at deep throat.
I got no gag reflex.
Yeah. Not a problem. I'm going to kill you.
The one cougar that can deep throat. Steve, I've actually seen a lot of cougars that can deep throat.
That's right. Just buy me some cigarettes and I just might show you.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Got some of the wrapping on my teeth.
We'll come back in a moment. Stay with us.
Peek behind the radio curtain with the MMR studio webcam. Available at PrestonandSteve.com or via the MMR mobile app. See occasional hotties, famous faces, and if you're lucky, monkeys riding border collies.
I've said it before, it still stands. I don't think that song will ever get old. Not in my mind, anyway. Find me somebody to love. Queens, about 4 minutes after 10. Wednesday, clouds are starting to make their way into the area. Today's high, about 48 degrees. So still mild by comparison to where temperatures normally are. 50 tomorrow, cloudy. Maybe some rain tonight, by the way. And then we have some showers and wind expected on Friday, high 57. And then after that, more season. We'll be in the upper 30s.
I don't want to listen.
What?
We're into February. We've got February and March, right? These are the... When kind of the critical times, but I think we're looking pretty good.
You did it.
Did I just do it?
You did it. Thanks.
I've been thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I've been thinking we're this far into it. We've gotten pretty lucky. But then again, we could get dumped on and it could stick around for a month.
It's possible. We usually get bitch slapped a little bit leading up to it. And we haven't really had anything. I don't want to jinx anymore. So you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm thinking. Right. Just say a prayer.
No, sometimes, yeah, even like last year when we had the march.
Yeah.
You know, the nor'easter.
Cavalcade of death.
Before that, we had a couple of moments of snow that stuck around and it stayed and it was more like winter for a while. So I don't know.
And around Christmas, if you remember, it was bitterly cold and there was snow. We had a heavy snowfall. So we had... Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't know. I don't want to say I did say it, but let's just hope for the best.
Okay. I will agree with you on that. We're going to get the lesson question today. We're going to give away a $50 cash card from Sergeant Scrap. And the question I think I'm going to go with, there's a lot of really good ones that I can go with here. How about this? Who is Booger's? who's Booger the son of? 215-263-WMMR. Who is Booger? The son of 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. Call. We are going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Dunkin'. And this Valentine's Day, stop by Dunkin' and get heart-shaped, bling-sprinkled, and cookie dough and brownie batter double-filled donuts. Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Limited time offer. Participation may vary. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Kobe Bryant's parents putting a pair of golden diamond studded Lakers championship rings he purchased for them up for sale. Joe and Pam Bryant said that while the rings do have sentimental value, they really want a submarine.
Oh, my God.
Friends saying that Kate Beckinsale is doing a great job helping Pete Davidson get over Ariana Grande with some good old-fashioned tenderness. And just for the record, tenderness is how the Brits say hand jobs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Scientologist Elizabeth Moss reportedly trying to convert Handmaid's Tale fan Taylor Swift to the controversial religion. Moss has been making her case saying, quote, it's got a lot of the same things. Mm. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty. Let's see how closely. The hell's this?
Oh, my God. I'm so mad at myself. I gave you the wrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, showtime.
No, there you go.
All right. There it is. All right, let's see how closely you've been listening to the show this morning and see if you can answer this. Who's Booger the son of, I should say. I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. Who is Booger from Revenge of the Nerds, son of?
F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Yes. It's amazing. F. Scott Fitzgerald.
The amount of literary progeny on Revenge of the Nerds.
Hang on a second, Mike. We are going to give you a $50 cash card from Sergeant Scrap, and they are the Delaware Valley's original mobile scrap metal service company. Don't get fooled by copycat scrap companies, and don't take crap for your scrap. Visit sgt-scrap.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR.
Biscuits. This morning, music news brought to you by Dunkin'. This Valentine's Day, stop by Dunkin' and get heart-shaped bling sprinkled and cookie dough and brownie batter double-filled donuts.
I want those!
Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Limited time offer. Participation may vary. Okay, so we're going to take a step backwards. Tool singer Maynard James Keenan has seemingly contradicted one of his bandmates, shooting down rumors that the band's long-awaited new album will arrive in April. Asked by a fan on Twitter if it's true that the first new Tool disc in 13 years would be released in 2 months, Maynard responded simply by saying, no.
What the f*** is this?
Keenan's latest attempt to crush his fans' hopes and dreams comes a month after Tool drummer Danny Carey told a fan at a National Association of Music Merchants convention in Anaheim that the plan was for the new LP to come out in mid-April. He's made other predictions before about the LP, including saying at one point in late 2017 that the record would be out in 2018. So
it's all over the place.
Who knows? Ghost mastermind Tobias Forge has told Billboard that he has been working on for months now the band's new recording project with plans to be in the studio again by the beginning of 2020 with a release later that year. I mean, just came out with an album.
I enjoyed that interview with him, and I think I have
a
greater appreciation of the mission of Ghost.
I think he's got a real strong work ethic, too.
He clearly does.
He just keeps moving forward and is obviously incredibly creative.
And he likes IHOP.
He does. Yeah. And rats, well, it's about rats.
That's right. Forge explained, luckily, this time around, I feel very certain as to what I want to do. I have tons of bits and pieces and stuff written, and I know that once I really start working that there is going to be a record, which feels very inspired. The singer who performs as Cardinal Copia right now added the dramaturgic nature of the records.
Yeah, it's what you put in your dishwasher.
And that's what it says, dramaturgic. The dramaturgic nature of the records and the stores are getting more and more intertwined nowadays, which I like.
And it's very exculpatory.
He said it's almost like working with a series. I guess you have your characters and you can still F with them and add new things and take things away. You can do whatever you want, which is always enticing from a creative standpoint.
It's very clandestine, hypochondriacal, and bovine.
So he's already working on some more stuff. Greta Van Fleet has been forced to cancel the remaining concerts on the band's Australian tour after singer Josh Kiska was stricken with laryngitis, making him unable to perform.
I can't talk.
Kiska,
I totally lost my voice.
Broke the news in a statement saying that the band was already working on a momentous return to make this up to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've completely lost my voice and won't be able to go on tonight. Thank you very much.
A handful of shows in Brisbane and Melbourne were scrapped, as well as a concert in Auckland, New Zealand. The band will head home and presumably give Ziska some time to recover before the Michigan Quartet attends the Grammy Awards this Sunday.
Well, I think you'd want your voice in good shape for that.
Yeah, where they're up for four awards. It's a good question. I'm not sure if they're performing or not. I'm not 100% sure. But
or are they working concessions?
Maybe they'll be doing that. They will kick off a...
Glad to cheer up.
Run of the North American dates. Run of North American dates in May.
You know, when you do appear on the Grammys, there is they've noticed there is you know, a boost to sales as a venue to display what you're able to do.
Yeah,
it works very well.
Yes, they do. The Beatles have partnered with the retail chain Crate and Barrel for a series of 21 iconic images of the band sold online and in its physical outlets.
Don't let me die without promising me we'll end up in Crate and Barrel.
The prints, which run between $200 and $650, feature images of the Fab Four landing in America in 1964 and London's Hyde Park during the Beatles' For Sale photo shoot, promotional shots from 1965's Rubber Soul.
Have you seen them?
And the cover of the legendary 1966 Revolver album. Yeah, I did see one that looked pretty cool. We're looking at them now, the one that when they're in like a T.
Yeah, these are actually not bad.
Cross.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, but man, Crate and Barrel is expensive.
Yeah.
You guys ever been in there?
No.
May I recommend something?
Way overpriced.
Go in with your iPhone, take a picture of it, and go over to Prince Plus.
Yeah, maybe you could do that. they also are going to have an alternate shot from the photo sessions of Sgt. Pepper's and legendary photographs from Mad Day Out, the 1968 Mad Day Out photo session and the group's second the last photo shoot from April of 1969.
I love the Meet the Beatles cover. It's great. You know, yeah,
it's
classic.
So classically iconic. I agree, Steve. So anyhow, those are going on sale. So there you go. All right, and then one last thing. That's it for Music News. We have a secret text for it. I'd love to get a winner. So Kathy's not here. She normally picks the number.
She's so good at it.
Well, she's really good at it.
She's very upset about the delay in the Korn album.
Yeah.
So she knew she had to take matters into her own hands.
Right.
Korn and Tool. She's starting a new supergroup called Cool.
It's called what?
Cool.
Cool.
With a K.
Okay. Let's ask Marissa to do it. Marissa, what number call you want?
Wow, I'm so honored. Let's go with caller number 21.
All right. I like it. Caller 21, 215-263-WMMR. If you know the secret text word, you're in the running for it. We're going to take a quick break. Come back in a second. Get that winner. Give you our letter today for Word of the Week prize, which is a great trip this time around. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live.
When you can call in.
Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Learn to fly from Foo Fighters on 93.3 WMMR. It's everything that rocks. We are the Preston and Steve Show. And yes, we're going to be wrapping things up here in just a moment, but we have some things to do. One of them would be to give some stuff away. We were looking for caller number 21, our secret text word caller. And we've got that caller. It happens to be Dan. Hello there, Dan.
Morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, Dan. We'd like to set you up with something. If you can give me the secret text word, we will do that very thing. What is our word?
That would be Hippo.
Hippo! You, sir, are correct. And Dan, since you got that right, we're going to give you tickets to the That's Amore Valentine's Day event at the Adventure Aquarium. And that includes a behind-the-scenes look at the Ocean Realm, dinner, dessert, and two complimentary adult beverages. All right, my man?
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Hang on, buddy. And they do indeed have hippopotami there.
They do. And they're, you know what? They're fascinating. You know, when we actually got to see them during feeding time. They feed them bok choy.
Yeah.
And, wow, you can see how they could easily kill you.
They're big. By the way, treat your Valentine to a night of love beneath the waves. Join the Center for Aquatic Sciences at Adventure Aquarium for an intimate adults-only evening on February 14th from 7 to 11 and learn about the wet and wild mating habits of your favorite ocean animals. You can get tickets at aquaticsciences.org. That's definitely something different to do.
Yes.
And really, really cool.
Love it.
We grabbed a random texter, and that is Joyce Knobloch, who is from Mantua, New Jersey. I assume that's how you say
Joyce Knobloch?
Joyce's name. K-N-O-B-L-O-C-H.
Yep. Works for me.
Knobloch.
New kids on Knobloch.
And we got that for you. Same thing. So congratulations, Joyce. We'll take care of you. Couple of thank yous to do. Thank you to our fighters who came in today. We had Justin Cagey and Edson Barboza. Both UFC fighters fighting each other at the Wells Fargo Center.
Sitting side by side.
On Saturday, March 30th. Tickets are on sale Friday, WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. Yeah, they sat right here in these seats next to each other, promoted the event, and said no question. And I think it was Justin who said that we are two of the most violent fighters.
Yep.
In the league,
yeah.
And so they're both looking forward to see what's going to happen. But, you know, they don't hate each other or anything
no,
like that.
No, they just know it's business.
Yeah, exactly. So
How do they do that? Yeah.
Turn it on?
No, but I mean, how do they just sit there next to each other and maybe find that they even like each other?
Yeah, yeah.
And then have to go in and start physically attacking each other. It doesn't make any sense.
It's what they do, and it's...
Well, I do, too, but I don't... Yeah. I'm in the ring... I just want to.
You want to annihilate them.
I want to rip their nose off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess they don't do it out of hatred. They do it out of skill.
Yeah, that's it. It's like playing a chess match, but a chess match where you
can get knocked out,
punch someone's teeth out.
Right. You know, exactly. But it takes a tremendous amount of skill. So anyhow, we thank those guys for coming by here, and we chatted with Dane Cook.
Hey,
Dane's a cool guy. He's coming town, and his Tell It Like It Is tour is going to be at the Met Saturday, March 30th, and tickets on sale at LiveNation.com. So get those if you are so inclined. So, Pierre, shall we do the letter first?
Yes.
All right, we'll do that. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
I is in interplanetary.
Beautiful. I love that word. We have a trip for two to the set of The Walking Dead in Atlanta.
Wow.
That includes two nights hotel airfare from Philly to Atlanta, ground transportation in Atlanta, and The Walking Dead prize pack, and also tickets to a party with the undead. TV's number one show, The Walking Dead, returns with a terrifying new threat this Sunday, February 10th at 9 p.m. on AMC. Must be at least 18 years of age to enter. You can click contest at WMMR.com for complete details and contest rules. So we'll give it away on Friday. We are inching our way closer and closer. What's up in your world, man?
Sun Nephi Lock.
Sun Nephi Lock.
That's Happy New Year in Chinese.
Wow, didn't know that.
You know what? I saw some people posting on social media yesterday in Chinatown, the festivities that were going on. I wish I need to think to do that sometime. Well, it looks so cool.
Sunday is the big parade through Chinatown.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, so you could still make that. Where I think it's Lions or...
The dragons.
The dragons.
The green dragons, yeah. I know where it is.
I was so embarrassed yesterday, I realized I was still writing chicken on my checks.
Yes, it's now. And it's the year, I said the wrong year of. I said
it's the pig now.
It's the year of the pig.
You were writing chicken? Oh, that's embarrassing.
So there it is. Sunny Phi Lock. We had Al Lee, who used to work on the promotion crew here.
I remember Al, yeah.
And he speaks fluent Chinese, and he works for the city, and he's like a public relations ambassador.
He's a great photographer. Al has this Instagram account, and I'll look it up.
You're a Philly pal.
You're a Philly pal, yeah. And by the way, I think he just got engaged or married.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Al's a great guy. Worked here for a long time. But you're a Philly pal on Instagram is a terrific follow because he posts these fantastic shots of Philadelphia. It's really well done.
I would love to speak the language. It's so complex, amazing, though. But you're know where you could go in this world.
Two languages, by the way, Cantonese and Mandarin.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. He speaks both?
I don't know, but you can't just say speak Chinese. You got to say you speak Mandarin.
Mandarin
speak
is probably the one I would.
Pierre, have you ever been down there for that festivity?
I have not, no. I'd really like to.
Is the really big paper dragons and the firecrackers and all that stuff looks pretty cool.
He explained the history behind it, and the firecrackers send away evil spirits. And and orange and red are good colors to wear. So
what is Preston? You're going to go to the Chinese the ballet, right?
Shen Yun. What is it?
I want to go see that.
Shen Yun
Diesel.
I definitely want to get tickets to that. Yes, it looks.
I've heard it's awesome.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, they really look like they're in shape.
Yeah. Like they can fly. They look like superheroes.
Listen, Feng, can I talk to you? You're 400 pounds. Yeah. This is an issue.
No, it looks amazing.
Oh, and in the State of the Union last night, I loved that gentleman. They did some really cool call-outs, shout-outs, where the gentleman who had been a prisoner of war in World War II sat next to, and he was a Jewish gentleman, sat next to one of the people who liberated the camp. Very moving. And they also focused on the gentleman who had gone in and when they were attacking the synagogue, the policeman who got shot 7 times trying to save lives and eventually got the attacker. But he survived, thank God, and he was there. Cool moments like that are inspiring.
And did you stay all the way to the end? Because they also did a hot girl check-in, which was pretty wild.
I did not know that. But they did show the calendar, the President's Deep calendar.
They did.
And I saw Mitch McConnell signing it, so I thought that was pretty exciting.
Nice. Yeah.
Where do I sign? Where do I sign?
Yeah.
All right. Did you mention what you're doing on your show today?
I didn't.
Okay.
Oh, thank you for asking.
Sure.
We'll have Nick Mason tickets. A Saucer Full of Secrets is his secret. And it'll be flying in on April 20th to the Met. And it'll be Pink Floyd music. We'll have tickets for the Philly Home and Garden Show at the Expo Center. We've got Cool Blocks, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Bob Marley, whose birthday would be today. And Green Day, Dookie, was released 25 years ago last Friday. And so on Pierre Standard Time, I'm getting to it today.
Hey, you're getting to it. That's all that matters.
Thank you.
Nice. All right. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show today brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport, and Planet Fitness. Get the Planet Fitness Black Card, and you can use any of their 1,600 locations nationwide anytime you want. Tomorrow on our program, we have a guest who will be in studio, Mr. Bill Bellamy.
Yeah.
You may remember from the days of MTV, and he does comedy. And,
I think he has a new series, too.
He's going to be stopping in tomorrow. He's a nice guy. He's been here before. So I'll have him and many other things to dive into. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll do it again tomorrow night. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Hey, I know we got a nice, beautiful day. The weather's great, and all you guys are out there and having a blast. Wear a f***ing helmet, you idiots. You're not that tough, all right? Wear a helmet.
Next message.
Oh, my God, Casey, I have loved you since the day that I started listening about 20 years ago. Never called in, but when I heard you say that for the last 24 hours, you would listen to music, that just made me even more horny for you. Love you, and love the rest of you guys, too.
Next message.
Hey, I just want to say to all the d-offs out there that call my phone and Steve's phone 10 to 15 times a day, get a life, you
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.